私たち南部貧困法律センターは、南部及びその先で平等を推進する原動力として、地域社会と連携し、ゾンオを解体し、ヘイト団体への認識を広めています！
くだらない話はやめろ。本当は何が欲しい？
大したことじゃない。郵便受けをいくつか壊して、大騒ぎを起こして、ニュースに載るだけだ。世界中が君の主張を見るし、報酬も出る。悪くない取引だろう。
熱が高すぎて続けられなかったんじゃない。捜査を恐れていないのか。もうその心配はいおらない。仲間を焚きつけておけ。
本日、町の広場で KKK が集会を開き、SPLE はこれを非難し、しましました。
チームを編成している。お前には特別なスキルがある。実績がそれを証明している。最高レベルで動いてもらう必要がある。裏では我々が指示を出す。お前は結果を出せ。乗るか。
ああ、乗った。行き先を教えろ。
That's right, folks. The SPLC has been busted doing exactly what we said they did. Fabricating hate crimes, fabricating hate groups there behind the Charlottesville chaos that, of course, we had their number from the very beginning. We'll show you all of that. Those first few clips that we saw are from great content creator Psyop Anime. Follow them at Psyop Anime on X. Making it a little bit more dramatic. I wish it was so cinematic and epic. No, it's a bunch of disgusting dweebs stealing money and trying to undercut our native population. We'll get into all of that to a very big degree. We're going to be joined by Stuart Rhodes in the next hour, since the Oath Keepers were a primary target of the SPLC, along with InfoWars and a lot of other people and places associated with us. So very excited to talk to him about that. We'll be joined by Kevin Posobiec in the third hour. He's been in Ireland investigating what the heck is going on there, which is interesting. We didn't, it totally unplanned, but it turns out both Alex's show and my show, heavy Celtic influence today, I guess you could say. Which, of course, I always greatly enjoy the sort of history lessons and the idea that literally as far back as the Romans and Hadrian's Wall, you know, they had to go fight Britain because Britain was the spawn point of like these Druid priests that would go into, you know, the Gallic lands and radicalize people, I guess you could say, turn people against the Roman authorities. And even though they'd conquered all of Europe, the problem wasn't solved because there was this engine of dissatisfaction with the Roman way of life constantly running in Britain. And basically for a long time, it was like, there's a quote from an old Roman writer that's like, you know, you would send a young man to wherever, Rhodes to learn rhetoric or to Athens to learn law, and the Gallics send their young people to Britain to learn to be Druids. It was like a cultural center of learning. And a lot of stuff goes back to that, by the way. If you go and read about the Druids and about what the Romans wrote about the Druids, you'll recognize it. You'll recognize it because, for example, Yale, Skull and Bones, it's the exact ceremony that's described by the Romans when they describe what the Druids do. Although the Druids potentially had actual magic. And so what they do at Yale and Skull and Bones is they'll do sort of a mock version of it where they lay in a coffin and basically they claim to be resurrected. What the Romans said the Druids did was they would lay somebody down in a coffin and then cut their head off, hold the head up, and then put it back on the body and rebirth them that way. But everything you see in a lot of what you see in secret societies goes back to the old Druids in Albion. It's absolutely fascinating. Really, really interesting stuff. And there is certainly a characteristic with the Scots, the Irish, the Welsh. I have Welsh in my background. I think the best combination is my combination. I think if you combine Celts, like the Welsh, with Sicilians, it's the ideal combination. You want the hard-headed sort of barbarianism of the Celts, but you need the sophistication and the civilizing factor of the Italians. This is what made America great, and will make America great again. We'll be back on the other side with your Daily Dispatch. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I've been in oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife, comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 and sell them for like $40. We'll be right back.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm gonna savor that. Infowars.com. It's gonna be really, really hard to stop saying Infowars. And let me just start off here, right off the bat, make it absolutely, abundantly clear what's happening with Infowars. Because even now I see people on X saying, every couple of days you guys are saying you're gonna shut down. Well, it's because they keep almost killing us, and then we fight back and survive. It's not actually that complicated, but it's different now, okay? So this is the announcement. InfoWars is shutting down. We will be down April 30th, and we will reopen with the Alex Jones Network May 1st. That's what's happening, all right? This isn't vague. It's not a potential. It's not a dependent on certain, you know, variables. It's happening. It's happening, and it's happening in a week and a day. So InfoWars will no longer exist. Now, whether they'll be purchased by The Onion or not, it almost doesn't matter at a certain point. They, I guess, could conspire with the judge to, you know, illegally rig what should have been an auction and get the right to use our stuff. But they're already using our stuff. They're already saying that they're InfoWars. So it almost doesn't matter what happens with the judge in her decision, because they're just going to do it anyway. See, this is, yet again, the reality of our unfair, you know, multi-level justice system, because we have to be super ultra careful. Like, we'll get shut down. We'll have to close down. We're going to go to the, you know, the AJN, the Alex Jones Network, and then we won't be able to call ourselves InfoWars anymore. Legally, we'll be prevented from doing so, and if we do, you know, claim to be InfoWars and have InfoWars branding, like, we'd probably get in trouble. We'd probably get sued. We'd probably get screwed over. The Onion doesn't need to worry about that. They'll just do it. They literally are doing it right now. They are just saying they're InfoWars. They haven't purchased the right to do that. It's a total violation. And again, I've got people on X, and, you know, in a way, I'm kind of, it's kind of a nice filter. Like, I've got people on X saying that I work for The Onion. And it's like, Maybe this is a good litmus test. Maybe this is a good filter. If you think that The Onion owns InfoWars, you clearly are incapable of discernment. Like, you don't know what's going on ever. You clearly are the most gullible person in the world, because do you think I now work for The Onion? Do you really think that I now work for The Onion somehow? My content hasn't changed at all. It's just like, what are you talking about? So, but it does kind of suck. It sucks because now you've got people that maybe they'd support it. Like, no offense, because, I mean, if there are fans, I love them. But it's people being like, I was a fan of you, but now that you're working for The Onion, this. I'm like, I'm just going to assume you're joking. So now I'm just playing along with it on X and just being like, yeah, well, they offered me a lot of money, so I took it. All right. It was a good deal. So now I work for The Onion. So you're just going to have to accept that, because I can't. Treat these people like they're serious. I have to pretend they're joking, or otherwise I'm going to go insane. So The Onion does not own us. They might not ever own us, but they are certainly going to say that they own us. They already are saying that they're us. They already are selling things with our logo on it. because the left just gets to do whatever the hell it wants. In America, it gets to break the law, and nobody holds it to account. Now, we will be talking about the SPLC being held to account, but I'm even a little bit suspicious about all this. I like it. I'm in favor of it, but I'm a little suspicious. I also know that we've been looking at some of Tim and Eric's, you know, Tim, this guy that is supposedly going to pretend to be Alex or whatever. I know Alex played some of his videos, some of their videos on his show. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for a little bit later because they've always been terrible. Like Tim, they're not funny. They're not good comedians. It's weirdo shock, gross out humor that was old in the early 2000s, right? It was kind of played out and stale 20 years ago, and it's all they've ever really achieved, and it's just disgusting. But importantly, there's a lot of like weird signals about pedophilia and just, I don't know, spiritual malaise, just disgust for disgust's sake. And of course, you know, he got Sam Hyde kicked off of Adult Swim because he doesn't like competition and is a whiny little snitch. So, like, these are our spiritual opposites. You have to understand, okay? In every possible way, right? They're snitches. They're power hungry. They're liars. They're disgusting. They're degenerate. They're not funny. Meanwhile, we are very funny and also totally sincere with what we believe. And also just like adults that care about real things, not just like weird grown up children that think poop is funny. It's just disgusting. Like it's just kind of like the symbol of just like how disgusting everything has become. So you know, we'll get into it. You know, the other thing about Tim and Eric, Tim Heidecker, who I guess is the one taking, I don't know what happened to Eric. He ate Eric apparently. They used to have a show that I did kind of like. Tom Goes to the Mayor was like their early show, but it also, everything they make sort of just oozes with this hate of America. It's like they genuinely despise America. You know, you can watch something like King of the Hill and it mocks America. It'll mock Texas, but it does it in like a loving way. It's like, okay, these are people that are like familiar with the people that they're mocking. And you can tell there's a real like love underneath it. Even if they're sort of pointing out some silly things that Americans do, there's a, a sincerity and a sort of warm heartedness. Meanwhile, from Tim and Eric, you just get this like, it's like they want to project onto America how disgusting they are. That's sort of what you get. And again, it is sort of the leftist projection, classic leftist projection. Again, the meme that I reference like every single show. It should be taped right here on the front of the desk. Is the meme of the 1950s family where they're all happy and grilling out back, and of course it's like, I'm on a bunch of drugs. Kill people and nobody cares. You know, it's just like they see something nice and pleasant and they have to project this like seething disgustingness underneath it because they're convinced that like everybody else must be hiding some disgusting characteristics of their own souls. And it's like, no, y'all, some people are just normal. It's fine. Like we're not disgusting. We're not secretly degenerate. We're not harboring horrifying fantasies. Like, that's you people. And then to like, instead of dealing with that internally and like understanding that you have a bad mindset, you maybe need some like spiritual counseling or something. They just go, no, everybody's like this. And we're going to show everybody like this. We're not the weird ones. You know, just because we are just constantly thinking about the most horrifying, disgusting things ever, just because we are, you know, spiritually sick. It's everybody else that's like that. We're just the honest ones. We're just honest about how disgusting we are. Everybody else is also disgusting. They just lie about it. And it's like, that's something a disgusting person thinks. No, not all of us are disgusting. but they want to normalize it so they don't feel so weird. It's very disgusting, and just, and I don't mean to overuse the word, but revolting might be another one. Just gross would be an easy way to put it. So, you know, we got a bunch of gross, weirdo, possible pedophiles taking over InfoWars completely illegally. Because why not? Because why not? Oh, and they're all on Blue Sky. That really tells you everything you need to know about them. They're all on Blue Sky. What's he, what is he saying here? I wonder. He's doing a Jones impression. Wow. So he's really, so we've lived rent free in this guy's head for years. And when was that? I mean, this must have been 6 years ago, 2016. Holy. So 10 years ago, the man has had a decade to work on his Alex Jones impression and it still sucks. That's horrible. Tim Heidecker has had an entire decade of his life to get good at an Alex Jones impression. And, it's still probably the worst one I've ever heard. It's very sad. That's a sad thing. All right, so we'll move on. We'll do the Daily Dispatch now and actually get to the news. But it's just, it's a nice reminder. It's a good reminder that this is who Bloomberg is funding with hundreds of millions of dollars to take over InfoWars. Because I guess, you know, God forbid, we actually try to protect children from the ravages of the modern world. They just think it's funny. They just think it's funny. They think it's a source of humor to just show. Should we just go? Should we just watch the video? I mean, everybody just watch it. We'll watch it later. We'll go back to it. But the whole thing is just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know how you write this sort of stuff. Like, I don't know what is going on in the writer's room where they're just like, and then the kids poop on him. That's so funny. And it's just like, not really, you know? It's like, I mean, literally, I have a 5-year-old kid and he does genuinely think poop jokes are funny. He really, like, he loves it. He thinks they're the funniest thing ever. And like, even at 5 years old, I'm like, dude, you're funnier than this. I'm like, you can be more clever. Poop jokes, that's easy. That's lowest common denominator. Just, you know, it might make your little friends laugh, but you're funnier than this, man. I literally tell my 5-year-old that whenever he makes poop jokes. Here are like 50-year-old men who are still making poop jokes. And they're like, we're the sophisticated ones. We're the sophisticated ones who understand politics and you should be taking our advice. But also farts are hilarious. It's like, all right, then I'm telling you, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to invite him. Tim Heidecker. Obviously, this has been your obsession for decades. You love us and you don't know how to express it. You're very confused. I understand. Come here and we will teach you to be funny. We'll teach you to be humorous in a way that is clever and insightful and not just disgusting. How about we teach you about the fine art of humor? It'll be great. You'll get funnier. You also may get to see that you believe a whole bunch of lies. And you may actually improve yourself. Halfway through saying that, I realized it would never happen, so never mind. Let's just begin, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2026. Justice Department charges prominent civil rights group with financial crimes. The Justice Department charged the Southern Poverty Law Center, a civil rights group that has long tracked hate group. Well, hold on now. Hold on. Let me just, we might have to edit this. We might have to do a little bit of editing here. The Justice Department, charged the Southern Poverty Law Center, a not civil rights group, anti-white hate group. So they charged an anti-white hate group, just clarifying here, that has long tracked. We'll scratch out track and we'll write funded. Okay. That is long funded hate groups on Tuesday with financial crimes, accusing it of defrauding donors by using their money to secretly pay informants inside extremist organizations. We can go ahead and scratch out informants here, and write morons. We'll write morons there. I think that makes sense. Using their money to secretly pay morons inside extremist organizations. There you go. So that's a sort of more accurate rundown for you, but we'll get into this a little bit more later. Meanwhile, the Justice Department has withdrawn subpoenas in the John Brennan probe. Okay, so it's not exactly going perfectly. Sure, we are hearing that the SPLC is being charged for white supremacy, of all things. Again, we'll get into it, but, like, that's crazy. Like, they should really be charged for, like, treason and, like, domestic terror themselves. We'll get into it. But meanwhile, the actual deep state operatives, the actual scum that have literally and just unquestionably committed treason against the sitting president, they're getting off scot-free. They're being let go, even though their crimes are well-known and admitted on camera. Nothing is happening to them. The Justice Department has withdrawn subpoenas issued in the investigation of former CIA Director John Brennan, with officials asking for voluntary interviews instead of testimony before a grand jury. Two people familiar with the matter said Tuesday. A small handful of subpoenas that were known to have been issued over the weekend for witnesses to appear before a grand jury in Washington, but investigators on Monday evening informed lawyers that the subpoenas were being withdrawn in favor of requests for voluntary interviews, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So, you know, what are we doing exactly? So I would like to hear from the pro-Trumpers out there how this is playing into the 5D chess that we're seeing. Because I call me low IQ or something. Maybe I'm too low IQ to understand the sophisticated nature of the takedown of the deep state. But it seems to me like through the entirety of Trump's second administration, we've gotten essentially three kind of halfway indictments of three deep state figures. All three of those have now been withdrawn and are no longer moving forward. That would be James Comey, Letitia James, and now John Brennan. So there you go. So there we are. So what's the point exactly with voting Republican? What will we ever get for winning the election? We're running out of time. We don't have very much longer, and we've got all of these just rampant, vicious criminals like John Brennan just not even being questioned, not even being investigated. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, none of them are being held to account at all. And this is just one of those things. Again, when you ask, like, you know, why did you trust Trump? Like, Tucker Carlson came out with a thing basically saying he apologized for telling people to support Trump. I don't apologize for telling people to support Trump because I always told the truth, and I always, you know, we always knew that Trump wasn't a savior. He wasn't going to fix everything. But we at least thought he would act within his own interest, and it's in his interest to go after these deep state people. He's the one they screwed over. He's the one that they will still screw over as soon as he's out of office. These are his enemies. There are enemies too, but they're his more than ours even. This is the thing. It's like, can somebody explain this to me? Can somebody rationalize why Donald Trump is allowing all of his biggest persecutors to escape justice? Doesn't make any sense to me. I'd like to see it just for the sake of justice itself, for the sake of, you know, clearing our government of these deep state criminals. But for Trump, it should be personal. He apparently doesn't care. I don't know. It's weird, man. It doesn't make any sense. Iran attacks oil tankers in Hormuz, sending oil back above $101 a barrel. And you got to laugh. I mean, I think Iran is trolling us at this point. I think they're actually trolling us. They, like, actually wait until Trump says something just so they can disprove it. Like, they didn't shoot down our planes until he said, we have total control of the skies. Iran can't fire a single missile. We can fly around with impunity. Suddenly that very day, two different airplanes go down. Then he says, you know, the Strait of Hormuz is totally open or it's closed. We've blockaded it, whatever it is. But basically, Iran's navy is not even a factor anymore. We've totally destroyed it. The Strait of Hormuz is ours. And then Iran takes out two tankers. So So what have we gotten? So what exactly have we won? Because it seems like the list of what we wanted to accomplish got sort of shuffled around, changed, curtailed a little bit. Okay, here's our new set of goals for the military exercise, the totally not a war. And now each one of those is sort of systematically being crossed off. All right, so we don't actually control their skies. All right, we don't actually control the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, we didn't actually destroy their navy. Okay, we haven't actually cleared all of the mines yet. So, like, what exactly are we doing here? I guess I'll ask again. And by the way, there's supposed to be another meeting today in Islamabad. Jared Kushner and J.D. Vance and Witkoff are supposed to go up there. Heard an interview with Trump today where he's going, you know, well, we didn't go because they didn't go. So, in other words, you were trying to have talks with Iran, but Iran said no because they're not the ones looking for the talks because they're the ones winning the war. I think what I'm perceiving here is that America is desperately trying to get into talks with Iran, and Iran is deciding we haven't paid enough of a price yet. They still haven't established true effective deterrence for the future, and so the war will continue. And Donald Trump has extended his ceasefire. Now, yesterday I had a headline that said Trump is not going to extend his ceasefire. Today he extended it. I keep seeing Trump back down. I keep seeing Trump chicken out, for lack of a better word, or get called on his bluff. And it's embarrassing and it's humiliating and it's reflective of the chaos and disorganization of this military action, as well as the, I don't know, just lies that Trump is being told or is telling us. It's just, it's not true. Whether he knows it's not true and is lying to us or whether he is being fed false information, I think we have a major problem here. I think we have a major problem. It's not going to get any better. Mike Huckabee reportedly to join talks between Lebanon and the U.S. as Trump extends peace deal deadline. Oh, good. Okay, so the diehard rabid Zionist who says that Israel has a right to take over the entire Middle East, including Lebanon. Oh, now he's going to be in the negotiations, is he? Okay, great. So Israel will have another representative there to try to browbeat Lebanon into surrendering their sovereignty and abandoning their land so that Israel can take it over and settle it with Jewish people. I hope they don't. I hope Lebanon stays strong, and they probably will. We'll get into it. And I kind of want to revisit the history because in case you don't know this, what's happening in Lebanon, again, it's not anything new. We could take it back 40 years, but I at least want to go back to like the 2016 era and talk about the Caesar initiative, because America has been trying to crush Lebanon financially for the last 15 years because they had trade with Syria, their next door neighbor. And we were trying to oust Bashar al-Assad because he was friendly with Iran and we are slaves of Israel. So in our effort to oust Bashar al-Assad, we basically put crippling sanctions on all of Lebanon, despite the fact that they have no choice but to deal with Syria. It's their next door neighbor and they've had trade relations forever. And by the way, Bashar al-Assad was an Alawite and a moderate and protected the Christians and minority groups there. Those same Christians and minority groups have now been subjected to pogroms by the very celebrated, insane ISIS terrorist, al-Shara, who now runs that country. So I'm glad everybody's waking up to the Israeli influence in America, but it is nothing new, folks. Finally, Democrats earn major midterm edge in Virginia vote as Virginia decides to approve a redistricting vote, which allows them to essentially eliminate Republican representation in Virginia as a thing. So we'll go over that as well. A lot more to come in the next segment. Stay tuned. We'll get into the SPLC, who they really are.
Right now is the time to support InfoWars as Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues for all of you. TheAlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Shows Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them, and we will continue on. But I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, it is all incredible, top-rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. All the original InfoWars products, we're not going to sell once this goes through. Because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigley. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy Incredible Formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode it till the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to, I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism, torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this with Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to theoliveshowstore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a free app. TheAlexJonesApp.com, Android, on Apple, it's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. And you get big discounts on everything in the shopping cart when you do it to the app, AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new news site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up, but I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank you all for your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade, to take starting meds to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins.
All right, welcome back, folks. Weeds have overgrown. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We're going to get into the SPLC here. I gotta admit, the gay frog thing, that's funny. I'm happy that the SPLC is being targeted. I also can't help but be a little bit suspicious of it, I have to admit. I just don't really buy it. Now, the SPLC has been in a lot of trouble in the recent past. Like, it was kind of on its way out anyway, in a lot of ways. There's like a lot of shakeup. There were a lot of accusations during the Me Too era. But the SPLC remains one of the most influential and quote unquote trusted sources for information about things like domestic terrorists, just like the ADL. Now, both of these organizations are very thinly disguised anti-white terrorist organizations. That is actually the way to think about it, and I'll prove it to you beyond any doubt. That's what them funding white nationalists or the KKK, white supremacists, is all about. It's to demonize any legitimate resistance to the deliberate replacement of white people in their homelands. And we'll start. I want to go to a Bound report about this, but I think before we do that, I really want to lay this out for you in a way that is not just comprehensible, but sort of undeniable. Let's go to clip 24 here. So this was a documentary being made about the SPLC, and the documentary filmmaker saw a note taped on the wall of the SPLC where they are very clearly tracking the percentage of white people in America like it's quarterly returns on investments, or like it's a, you know, score of a game that they're interested in. It's what they're driving toward. It's their scoreboard. It's how they tell whether they're succeeding or not. It's their mission. And it's not just America. You'll actually see charts with Europe and other places as well, because it is a worldwide effort to destroy white people, which again should be obvious. And this may be like, you know, if anything that needs to come out of this, you've got to understand that they literally see white people as a threat. Not white supremacists, not white nationalists, white people. If you're white, they hate you and they want you dead and they want you destroyed. And they want your children destroyed. And you can be the nicest person in the world. It doesn't matter. If you're white, you're white. And that's just how it goes. That you need to understand this. You need to understand that white people are a tiny minority in the world, less than 10% of the world population. And yet we have been subjected to this level of destruction that is almost incomprehensible. And so let's go to clip 24 here. This is the documentary where they show this scoreboard, this scorecard that the SPLC keeps up in a prominent, you know, part of their office, so they can keep track year by year of the damage they're doing to the native white population of America. Let's watch.
And my bosses insisted that we move out of the house for a week.
Yeah, this twitchy looking little goblin.
At one
goblin.
Point, so I was notified the last year by a letter from
count. And you can see 1920, 90% white people. 1940, 90% white. So it says non-Hispanic white percentage of the population. 1960, 85. You'll notice there, just to the right, they actually have it marked off 1965. So while they are sort of charting the decline of white people by the decade, they make a note that halfway through 1960, here's what the white population was. Why was that? Well, that's because that was when Hart-Celler passed. The Hart-Celler Act opened up immigration to non-white people. And so then you have 1980, 79%, 2000, 69%, 2012, 64, 2013, 63, 2012, 12%. Or 62%. Go ahead and pull up that image again, because you'll also see down to the right, some people don't notice, it's they're also tracking Europe and the decline of white people in Europe. So again, this is them working on this, right? This is them trying to get that number as low as possible. Now, do I have to ask you, or are you capable on your own volition of just imagining if this was literally any other group, literally any other situation? Just imagine you had a group of people. Just imagine you had people, group of, in Israel, whose entire plot was to lower the population of Jews in Israel, and we're sitting there charting it. Like, would they be allowed to operate? Or would they literally be bombed? Like, would they actually be like thrown into prison and raped by dogs and then executed? Like, that's what Israel would do to anybody behaving like the SPLC does in America. Why don't we treat it with the same seriousness? Because they have insinuated their way into all of our most prominent organizations who all agree with this agenda because they're all genocidal psychopaths. It's actually not that complicated. Let's go to this report by John Bound just to lay the groundwork. But let me just, if I can really drill home on what we just saw, because you have to understand we're in PSYOP world now. PSYOP world is it's a very confusing place. It's a hall of mirrors. There's a lot of sort of nuance and confusion to be found here. which is why, you know, even this bust, even the charges against the SPLC, I'm like, well, hold on. We're in PSYOP world here. So is this even a real thing, or is this some weird cover story? Is this something to try to, you know, gin up support for the Trump administration by looking like you're doing something when really what you're doing is, you know, charging a essentially defunct organization that has already served its purpose? Because moving forward, they're not going to need places like the SPLC as much. They're going to have everything hardwired into the Palantir control grid. And if you want to demonize or destroy somebody, it'll be a matter of stroke of a key on a keyboard. You won't have to stage these big, you know, false flag attacks to get people on board. You'll just have the infrastructure and the operating system to delete people you don't like. So maybe the SPLC has sort of served its purpose and now is being sacrificed as a way to make people think the Trump administration is serious about going after people that are destroying our country, because I don't see the charges against SPLC that were laid yesterday as going after what they really are and the crimes they've really committed. I don't see the Justice Department going after the ADL, who has a history of like acknowledged and open criminality where they're like actually spying on Americans for a foreign state. I haven't seen them. Like, after Charlie Kirk's murder, the FBI came out, Cash Patel came out and said, we have completely disconnected from the ADL. We no longer are going to have the ADL as a trusted source. But that never happened. Nothing happened. They came and announced it, but the ADL is still perfectly intertwined with the FBI and any other, you know, national law enforcement agency. So I just have trouble believing any of this, to be honest with you. And again, we are in PSYOP world now. So when it comes to what we just saw from the SPLC, truly understand what it is that we're seeing, okay? The NGO, SPLC, that is cited as an authority on extremism. Remember, and I'll show you more videos here in just a second, but the SPLC is like the organization that they reference when the FBI is like investigating people. They go, well, according to the SPLC, they're domestic terrorists. So this is the NGO that has been granted the authority. They just summoned it out of nowhere, I guess. I don't know. It's totally crazy. Again, this is why I say things like, I would always call Jonathan Greenblatt like Harry Schmidt, right? Or just like Jeff Bingo. It doesn't matter. He's just some dude. He's some dude. Who is he? Nobody cares. He hasn't earned anything. Nobody voted for him. He's just some dude. So like literally, if you're watching TV and there's just some guy, your neighbor that works at the power plant is sitting there going, I demand that Facebook eliminate my, you'd be like, well, who the hell are you? Go away. You're nobody. That these people are nobody. They just impose themselves on everybody. They just act like they have authority and people believe them. And so then they have authority. It's crazy that this is the case. But the SPLC, like, you might as well, like, why doesn't the FBI go, well, according to InfoWars, these people are domestic terrorists, so therefore we're charging them. We're more credible than the SPLC is. We've been right more than the SPLC is. We've been charged with federal crimes less than the SPLC is. Well, why can't we be the authorities that dictate who is and who isn't domestic terrorists? The SPLC gets to, for some reason. They're just a group of random people. That doesn't make any sense. So the NGO that is cited as an authority on extremism is tracking the decline of the white population like they're tracking quarterly earnings, while they are actively funding the quote-unquote white extremists groups that they're using to demonize white people's resistance to their decline. Do you understand? So this group that is invested in, their goal is lowering the number of white people as a percentage and in total. And they are funding white extremists in order to demonize and really like make illegal any resistance to the very decline that they are bringing about. So they want to lower your population, and if you want to resist them in that, they call you a white extremist, and they fund the actual white extremists to give credence to their labels. So this is what I mean by like the multi-layered, you know, Hall of Mirrors type, you know, PSYOP operation we're working with here. At the end of the day, it's just an attack. It's just an attack against us, and the effort to demonize any resistance for white people of their own destruction, eradication, and replacement is characterized as violent extremism because they fund the violent extremists that they can point to as an example. But all it's really doing is making it impossible for white people to actually genuinely and effectively oppose their own destruction. That's it. That's all that's happening. So the SPLC, it's not like, I don't know, they're being charged with like, oh, they told their donors one thing and then they gave the money to the KKK. But like, no, the problem is that this is a psychotic group of genocidal weirdos that are able to frame resistance to their murder as extremism. Like, they're trying to murder us, and if we resist, they say, look how extreme this person is. We have to stop them. And there's this story that I really printed out just because it was like a reminder. This was back in August of 2018. And it's an article called The Alex Jones Problem, where basically they were still trying to get Twitter to kick off Alex Jones because they hadn't kicked off Alex Jones yet. Everybody else had. And this was basically a, you know, part of the pressure campaign to try to portray Twitter as doing something dangerous by letting Alex Jones remain on their platform for another week or two. But in it, they're talking about the Charlottesville event. And yeah, the SPLC is a hate group. Good point, Charlie. You're exactly right. And they're talking about Kessler, this guy, Jason Kessler, who Trump totally, I mean, who Alex had totally had his number, which was awesome. I love seeing that one. But they say Kessler, who calls himself a white advocate, used the appearance on NPR to promote the idea there's nothing wrong with advocating for the white race. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with advocating for the white race. What the hell is wrong with you? Can you believe he was promoting the idea that there's nothing wrong with advocating for the white race? Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with advocating for the white race. What the hell are you talking about? These people hate you. They literally think it's wrong for you to advocate for yourself while tracking our physical destruction year over year. Okay, it's not confusing. This isn't complicated. This isn't nuanced. It's pretty straightforward, actually. They hate white people. They're trying to destroy white people. They want to and are portraying all resistance to your and my eradication as extremism to facilitate the eradication. Again, not complicated, not difficult to understand. Just genocidal, just maniac. That's all. Again, they're like, and he says black people have lower IQs. And it's like, on average, they do. Isn't that the truth? Is it? Guess what? Asian people have higher IQs than white people. Oh my gosh. Terrible. That must mean I want all white people to die, right? No, it means I actually want to understand the problems that we're having so we can solve them. And you don't solve problems by ignoring their cause. So let's go to this John Bowne report. You can find this on band.videoinfowars.com. Little breakdown of what is happening with the SPLC and who they really are. Let's watch.
Racism is down, people! Unless we get these hate crimes up, we are out of a job! No more matcha lattes! Is this getting through to you?
If there's not enough racism, what if we made racism?
That's it!
I just want to make sure I understand. You're alleging that the Southern Poverty Law Center was paying the leaders of KKK and other groups to continue their operations? Is that?
I'm not alleging it. The grand jury returned an indictment that says that. And so what the investigation found, according to the indictment that was returned today, is that they were paying. So Southern Poverty Law Center is raising money, asking folks to give them money to dismantle racism. And over a very long period of time, they were using some of the money they raised from donors to pay to, they called them field, you know, basically to informants, for information, for access, to just pay them for certain, to do certain things. And so yes, that's exactly what the indictment charges.
I've been on air 32 years and my wheelhouse has been the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL running the KKK, the Aryan Nations, all of them. It's come out. They got caught in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s doing it. It is well documented.
It's the biggest grift in at least modern American history. cutting into the literal DNA of these United States. On April 21st, 2026, a federal grand jury in Montgomery, Alabama, hit the Southern Poverty Law Center with an 11-count indictment, 6 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of false statements to a federally insured bank, and 1 count of conspiracy to commit concealment money laundering.
They used the fraudulently raised money by lying to their donor network, thousands of Americans, to go ahead and actually pay the leadership of these supposed violent extremist groups. The groups, as the general laid out, include the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, Unite to Right, National Alliance, the National Socialist Movement, the Aryan Nation Motorcycle Club, and the National Socialist Party of America, and also the American Front.
One SPLC field source was even a member of the online leadership chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, making racist postings under SPLC supervision and helping coordinate transportation to the event. This is the very definition of a false flag setup on a massive scale. As this debacle unfolds, we're seeing the full picture of a vast conspiracy aimed at falsely labeling white men as the most violent racist threat to the country, a narrative that continues to drive the Democratic Party.
Close your eyes. Remember what you saw on television. Remember seeing those neo-Nazis and Klansmen and white supremacists coming out of fields with lighted torches. And remember what the president said when asked?
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Their veins bulging.
He said specifically that he was condemning them.
No, he did not. He said he walked out and he said, let's get this straight.
The veins bulging on their as they were screaming. Remember, just close your eyes and picture what it was.
Their veins bulging.
Their veins bulging.
Nazi sympathizers, carrying Nazi fags. Veins bulging.
Now, in other times, Democrats and Republicans alike would rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center to help us keep track of the movements of violent white supremacy in the country. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been a vigilant voice in civil society against radical white nationalist violence and extremism, neo-Nazism, and other forces across the political spectrum that spread organized hate from any quarter. The president, however, wants to undermine civil society organizations and to reduce our ability to defend ourselves against the virus of racial violence.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
Racism is evil.
Damn it.
And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Not to mention fudged nationwide arrest data that mislabeled black and brown suspects as white, and major cities conveniently stopping crime reporting to the FBI after Biden took office. For years, the SPLC sat on the safety teams of Facebook, old Twitter, and YouTube, directly advising on what content to demonetize, restrict, or nuke entirely. They choked out dissenting voices during the height of big tech censorship, manufactured Gamergate as male supremacy, labeled conservative Christians and parental rights groups as hate groups, and relentlessly targeted Alex Jones and InfoWars, which resulted in the Truth Organization being put under surveillance by the FBI.
Charlottesville was mainly a bunch of homosexual leftist dressing up like Nazis who'd all formerly worked for Obama or Hillary, part of their art club, and then they lured a bunch of reporters there and some real white supremacist so the police could stand down and collide them into the folks. I pointed out that some of the same leftist foundations are funding the white supremacists that are funding real white supremacists in Ukraine, I got sued for that, even though it's, you know, they tried to say that I said some cameraman killed the girl. I didn't say that the cameraman killed them. I said it was all part of leftists coming out to come to this big event and hope there was some big crisis out of it to demonize the right in general and tie us to Nazis.
The SPLC branded Jones a top anti-government extremist, feeding tech giants the ammunition they needed to ban InfoWars across multiple platforms in 2018 and wipe out his reach overnight. 4 months before Charlie Kirk was murdered, the SPLC placed Turning Point USA on their hate map right next to the KKK and neo-Nazis. On top of it all, this so-called poverty nonprofit sits on a near billion-dollar war chest stashed in global tax havens. The SPLC is denying everything and crying political weaponization, but the black and white evidence is in the indictment. The American people deserve better than being played for suckers by professional fearmongers. The entire country should sue. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
So you go find and share that video on band.video on InfoWars.com. Nazis and Antifa seeing each other across the way. That's pretty funny. Yeah, where's it? The ADL, you know, clearly needs to be next. Again, we can get more into just like how criminal the SPLC is. If you search the SPLC's internal archives for the keyword Charlottesville, specifically for the six-month period following the rally, that's August 2017 to February 2018, there are more than 100 entries consisting of news articles, investigative pieces, and press releases. They made a boatload of money off the rally, too. So basically, they doubled their revenue after staging the false flag Nazi rally in Charlottesville to then raise money off of. So just total wholesale fraud. But they also, again, I just want to emphasize, their entire role is the demonization of the white race. Demonization of white people, characterizing just white resistance to your destruction as extremism. In addition, they actually published a giant map of every Confederate statue in America just at the time that Black Lives Matter was running around destroying them. So it's, again, I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm not, you know, making claims that aren't backed up by evidence. They literally give the information to the radical terrorists who are running around tearing down the physical embodiment of your heritage. They actually are still waging a war against the South. They hate America. They hate white people. They especially hate conservative white people who don't want to be replaced. That's their entire existence. That's who they are. That's what they should be charged for.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. And they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at theallisonstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, theallisonstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear.
We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
There are dangerous hate groups in America. Who will warn us about them? The media tell us.
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, based in that building in Alabama, calls itself the premier group monitoring hate groups and other extremists. Looking at their map of hate groups, you'd think hate groups were everywhere. I once believed what the center said. Well-meaning people still do. Apple gave them $1 million. But what donors don't know is that today, the center smears good people.
The presence of radical Islam.
This Somalian woman speaks out against radical Islam. For that, the center put her on its list.
Join the fight against hate and bigotry.
Visit SBLCenter.org.
I do think that we have a problem with hate in this country.
We put about 10 of these major hate groups out of business.
When I first investigated the center, its leaders wouldn't talk to me. So liberal commentator Nomiki Kantz defended them.
They have a history, a long history of fighting against extremists like the KKK.
History, yes, but they labeled skeptical Muslims like Ayaan Hirsi Ali as haters.
If you have a horrible experience with religion, that's one thing. It's another thing to use those experiences as ammunition against others who are practicing their religion peacefully.
But they're just speaking, criticizing it.
Of course she has the right to free speech, as does the Southern Poverty Law Center has a right to push back.
We can stand together against hate.
The center also calls the Family Research Council a hate group.
The definition of a marriage is what it's been for 5,000 years. It's the union of a man and a woman.
I often disagree with the council myself, but do they belong on this hate map?
When they don't agree with you politically, they're going to list you as a hater.
You are haters. You hate gays.
No, I don't hate gay people, and I know gay people, and I have worked with gay people.
But once you become a hate group, you're a target.
Developing now, word of a shooting at the Family Research Council there in Washington.
One man was so enraged by what the Southern Poverty Law Center said about the Family Research Council, he went to their headquarters to kill people.
A man shot a security guard in the arm.
Fortunately, that guard stopped the man before he could shoot anyone else.
He told the judge that he was there to kill as many of us as possible because we were a hate group.
The center also smears the Ruth Institute, a Christian group that believes gays should not have an equal right to adopt children. They're not haters.
I like gay people. I have no problem with gay people. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are we doing with kids and the definition of who counts as a parent? There could be cases where the best person for a particular child would be their Uncle Harry and his boyfriend. You know, that could be. But we owe it to the children to give them the best we can, which generally is a married mother and father.
So you're a hater. When the Southern Poverty Law Center put the Ruth Institute on its hate map, the Institute's bank cut them off.
We've determined that you're an organization that promotes hate, violence, harassment, and so therefore we're not doing business with you.
The Ruth Institute and the Family Research Council are still on the hate list.
There's no appeal, and I sure don't know how you get off.
I suspect the center keeps its hate list long because that brings in lots of money.
Morris Deese's salary is more than my entire annual budget. So, yeah. Whatever they're doing, it pays.
It sure does. Years ago, Harper's Magazine reported that the center was the richest civil rights group in America, one that spends most of its time and money trying to make more money. They promised to stop fundraising once their endowment reached $55 million. But when they reached $55 million, they changed that to $100 million, saying that would allow them to cease costly fundraising. But when they reached $100 million, they didn't stop. They collected $200 million, then $400 million. Now they've got $730 million. Yet they still smear people to raise more money.
Much of which is in offshore accounts, Caymans and places like that.
How do you know?
Oh, we look at their 990s.
And it says Cayman Islands?
Yeah.
Now the Southern Poverty Law Center calls groups that simply oppose sexually explicit content in schools anti-government extremists. Moms for Liberty and Moms for America are on the hate map because they dare do things like seek school board seats to try to stop districts from disregarding opinions of parents. Give me a break. The center puts them on the hate map, but not Antifa, the hate group that beats up people on the right. The center's become a hate group itself.
coming up in just the next month or so. It looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. So, a lot more to talk about when it comes to the SPLC and their apparent breakdown. As Jim Jordan notes on X, let's see, the SPLC was fraud. Act Blue is engaged in fraud. California Medicare is basically entirely fraud. Minnesota daycares were fraud. Fire Aid is fraud. What's next? It's all fraud. It's all just complete and total fraud. And here's the thing. Even if they're doing exactly what they say they're doing, it's still fraud, in my opinion. It's still bad. Like, what are we talking about here? It's like, why are we paying? Why are American taxpayers paying for Somalis to take care of other Somalis? What are we doing? What is this? It doesn't have to be fraud. None of it should be happening. And it just, I mean, it really goes on and on. It's just insane. It's all just completely insane. Of course, we called this out basically as soon as it happened. Let's go to clip number four here. This is Alex Jones absolutely nailing the Charlottesville scam, the false flag. This was shortly after it occurred. Here's Alex Jones breaking it down. Clip number four.
Charlottesville was mainly a bunch of homosexual leftists dressing up like Nazis who'd all formerly worked for Obama or Hillary, part of their art club. And then they lured a bunch of reporters there and some real white supremacist so the police could stand down and collide them into the folks. I pointed out that some of the same leftist foundations are funding the white supremacist that are funding real white supremacists in Ukraine. I got sued for that, even though it's, you know, they tried to say that I said some cameraman killed the girl. I didn't say that the cameraman killed them. I said it was all part of leftists coming out to come to this big event and hope there was some big crisis out of it to demonize the right in general and tie us to Nazis. That's ongoing in Charlottesville. You're not supposed to question.
Yeah, you're not supposed to question it. I'm going to go to clip number five, the sim even earlier. Again, just knowing exactly what has now been revealed by this grand jury indictment. Let's watch.
Even had it on tape. They go, you say nothing was real at Charlotte. It was actors. And I went, I never said that. I said they've been caught hiring actors, crisis actors, before to go stir up stuff. Little did I know they'd actually hired them for Charlottesville, official Craigslist, official websites, official companies that have been around for over a decade. Little did I know that even their fake news about me became true. They're so bad. No wonder they were so upset about the actor statement, because it was on target. They wanted to hit it first to then say it was made up and get that fake news out first. So there's a bunch of other companies. But the point is, they say, we're going to Charlottesville, and we're hiring people to agitate. And then their people are there, and then I'm wrong. And then I just said we should investigate actors. There's been actors before. Sometimes it's crazy. I've been at Nazi rallies covering it, and you'll actually see guys that you later learn are FBI informants and Jewish leaders and Jewish community people dressed up as Nazis and, like, stuff I think they probably got in the back lot at Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, it's literal, like, Hollywood outfits, brown shirt outfits that haven't been around since, like, 1933.
And, of course, this also happened. I can't remember what campaign was it, where they had guys standing out with tiki torches just like this. And again, that was the same type of thing. It was just they totally hired actors to go, you know, pretend to be Nazis. But really think about, yeah, often in the box truck there. Really think about, like, how this has been used to destroy any legitimate resistance to the left. Because the SPLC obviously targeted the Proud Boys. They targeted all these people. Like just remember back over the last 10 years, like, what has happened here? Like, first, Antifa was just viciously attacking people who were going to Trump campaign events. And, of course, when it would be displayed in the media, it would be violence breaks out at Trump event, as if it was Trump the one causing the violence. No, it was Antifa. And the local police, in many cases, were told to literally stand down while Antifa attacked. So then conservatives go, all right, well, if you're going to fight us, we'll fight you. We're going to have the Proud Boys, and we're going to defend ourselves, and we're going to defend protesters from Antifa violence. And, of course, they have been systematically destroyed. I mean, every step of the way, there has been this cycle where the left attacks, the right attempts to defend itself, they get smeared as hateful and extremist, and then shut down and destroyed, either legally through legal processes, by being sued into oblivion, by simply being kicked off of payment processors because the SPLC reaches out. And just remember, I mean, you've got the SPLC, you've got Stop Anti-Semitism, the Canary Mission. It's like SPLC is one of a constellation, the ADL probably being the biggest and most important one, orchestrating all of this, actually orchestrating the violent. Like, if, and this is why I'm like not even that excited, to be honest with you, about what's going on to the SPLC, because they should be charged with murder. You know, that woman died at Charlottesville as a consequence of the false flag environment they deliberately set up and paid for. Why are they not being charged with murder? Why are they not the ones being charged with terrorism? They've created terrorism, and the terrorism was false flag terror to stop Americans from defending ourselves, to convince people, because it's not about convincing you and I, and it's not even about convincing the authorities necessarily. It's about convincing the wider American public that anybody who notices and is working against the deliberate replacement of white people in white countries is somehow a Nazi, a hateful Nazi that wants to kill everybody. That's so sick. It's like really a sick thing to try to indoctrinate people with, but they've been very, very successful in this, and actually driving people away from organizations that would stand for their interest by relating them to hateful people, Nazis, you know, bigots, insane people. There's nothing bigoted about being white. Like, and this is, again, just how far we've gone, is that, you know, very normally intelligent people literally just think like white people existing is bad, and that if somebody like proud of being white, there's something wrong with them. That's like, it's so bizarre that people feel that way, but it's mostly because of organizations like the SPLC deliberately creating this atmosphere of hatred against white people and of fear for white people to defend themselves. So like that's what they should be charged with. That is why I'm like, okay, they got charged with white supremacy. Really? So like the thing that shouldn't even be like, what does that even mean? How do you charge somebody with that? Like, that's not a thing. Why aren't they being charged for the lies that they've told? For, I mean, I guess they're being charged with fraud because they were collecting money on the basis of the lies. But like from January 6th, Charlottesville, like all of these things, they all have the same characteristics. They all basically take exactly the same sort of pattern. Like, there's a real concern. There's a real issue that people are legitimately upset about for very good reason. For Charlottesville, it was people tearing down statues of American heritage, tearing down Confederate statues or statues of the founding father, because white people were being portrayed as racist, and all of our history is racist, and every one of our heroes has to be torn down and melted down into some sort of abstract art pornography. Like, that was their drive. So the Unite the Right rally was to save the historical and important to the people who live there statue of Robert E. Lee. So they take this legitimate concern that people have because they're being attacked, a defensive action from the right wing here in America, from Native Americans whose ancestors are represented by the statues around their towns. It's where they live, it's their ancestors and heroes. And you'd think that would be respected, but obviously the SPLC doesn't give a damn about anything other than their own, you know, particular political motive, which is, I repeat, destroying white people. So they take a real grievance, a real attack against right wingers in the country. And then right wingers go, hey, we're going to protest this. We don't like what's happening. We're going to protest. We're going to stand against it. We're going to show solidarity. We're going to surround the statue and say, you're not tearing down our heritage. We don't care if it offends you. So what? Go away. Go move somewhere else if you want. This is our heritage. This is history. These are the people that we celebrate and always have. And again, it's very weird. It's very inexplicable to me how you have people today, people whose like family wasn't even here until they moved here a week ago, and they somehow hate the South. They hate the Confederacy more than the people that literally were in life and death battles fighting and shooting bullets at the Confederacy. Like the people who survived the Civil War reached out and shook hands with the Confederacy. They actually built the statues that are being torn down now. Those statues were built because after the Civil War, obviously you needed to heal that wound, and there were, you know, efforts made by the North even to say, hey, look, we beat you and you know, you didn't win, but you still had heroes. Your people were still admirable, and we still respect you, and that was a mutual respect that allowed this nation to heal. So then you get a random immigrant from the Ukraine in the 60s who's just like decides like, actually, they all need to be torn down and it's evil. But that's just the Confederate thing as a whole. But just think about the parallels between like January 6th and Charlottesville. You have very serious and legitimate concerns from right wingers. In the case of Charlottesville, it was they're tearing down our history. They're actually engaged in a communist, popular revolution, and we're not going to let it happen. January 6th, it was the election was stolen. We all watched it happen in front of our eyes. It was undeniable. The proof is overwhelming. You take that real concern, you hijack it, you fill it with extremists, you manipulate the police and, you know, local authorities to set up a situation that will inevitably devolve into violence, and then you point at that and go, see how it's bad when right-wingers resist? See how it's bad when right-wingers gather? See how it's bad when white people try to stop their destruction? We can't allow this anymore. We can't allow white people to exist. And again, the weird thing is already, like, as of last year, they were still charging Charlottesville marchers because they had torches. And they called it, like, burning with the intention of intimidating or something. You know, it's supposed to be like if you burn a cross in somebody's front lawn or if you burn somebody's house down to try to scare them. But no, because you held a torch, because fire existed near you, now you're being charged with burning with intent to intimidate, which is a domestic terror charge. 9 years after the event, they'll come scoop you up and throw you in jail. So it's like it's not like our government now sort of understands, has seen through the deception and went, hey, you know, Charlottesville wasn't a crazy, you know, right-wing extremist riot. It was a legitimate protest that was hijacked and manipulated by the left wing. And those people in Charlottesville were the innocent ones. They were the right ones. They should be left alone. And even the car crash, I mean, that whole thing, again, if you were following along at the time, it was in the middle of a bunch of riots all over the country. People's cars were being attacked constantly. This person was like an autistic dude. His car was being attacked by people. They forced him to turn down a road. He like couldn't see where he was going. Like, I'm not defending. I mean, the dude is an idiot. He ran into a crowd of people like a freaking moron. Like, what do you think was going to happen? At the same time, it only happened because of the atmosphere that was created by the SPLC. And in case y'all don't remember, there was a park with the Robert E. Lee statue that was people in the right wing were going to try to protect. And so what they did was they arranged it to where there was a cordon, there was a barrier around the park. So all the right wingers, they kettled into this barrier and basically wouldn't let them leave while the left wingers surrounded the entire protest. And there were just like mobs of leftists just surrounding the whole area and wandering around looking for right wingers to beat up. And then the police, literally, they kept all of the right wingers pinned in and would only let them go in ones and twos. So you had a giant, you know, giant groups of leftists, no police stopping them, no, you know, control of them. They're wandering around totally free reign. And then the police would just incrementally let one or two people, one or two right wingers leave the protest, and they would inevitably be mobbed. They got pepper sprayed. They got attacked. I mean, we watched it all happen live. We had reporters there on the ground witnessing it. Sounds a little like January 6th, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit aligned, right? You get a bunch of right wingers there. They didn't bring weapons. They didn't bring guns. They weren't, you know, there to fight. They were there to protest, a legitimate protest, a First Amendment guaranteed. Yeah, this is the one, the Lincoln Project sent a group posing as white supremacists with tiki torches to GOP campaign event in Virginia ahead of the state's gubernatorial election. Like, how is that not a crime? I genuinely want to know, how is it not a crime to false flag racism like this, to try to smear your opponent by literally paying people to dress up like racists and go say, I'm a supporter of this person? Like, it's just crazy. So, just, do you understand? Do you get it? Do you understand that these people just hate you? They just hate us. And they take our legitimate concerns and our lawful protests. Like, we're so stupid, to be honest with you. Like, this is, they're so evil. They're so conniving. They're so manipulative. It just, like, it's incompatible with our way of doing things, which is just, like, innocent. It's like naive almost, that we're just like, hey, they're tearing down statues. We don't like it. We'll go protest. We'll go stand up and, you know, show them that there's a lot of people that don't want this to happen. And they're just like, okay, have the police kettle them and then release them in twos so we can beat them up. And then we'll, you know, take pictures of our operatives making mean faces. And then we'll fundraise on that, smear them all as Nazis. It'll be the basis of the Biden administration's, the Biden campaign for presidency. It'll be the basis of Kamala Harris's campaign for presidency. It will become an icon of the white supremacy that we're fighting in this country. It literally doesn't exist. They fabricated it from whole cloth. That's why for the entire time I've been on InfoWars, for the last decade, we've been mocking the concerns about white supremacy. Like, you might as well say they're fighting Bigfoot. You might as well say, you know, we've got a really big Bigfoot problem here, and we really got to hunt down Bigfoot. And Bigfoot is the number one problem in this country, and we need a you know, entire new wing of the government to focus entirely on rooting out Bigfoot and Bigfoot influence in American society. It literally doesn't exist. Not a thing. Do you know how that feels? Do you understand how it feels to know that that's the truth and hear every day serious people on TV genuinely talking about the threat of Bigfoot? Every time you hear somebody talk about white supremacy, that is what they're doing. They're talking about the chupacabra. They're talking about something they imagine, something they've made up in their own head, they've created, fabricated, and they're lying to all of you about. So it's just the same thing over and over. It's just the same scam repeated endlessly, which means they get to abuse us endlessly. And the moment we try to stand up, the moment we merely, you know, lift our head and say, hey, you know, this is kind of mean to us, they slap a swastika on your forehead and go, look at the Nazi. Look at the Nazi being a Nazi. He wants to kill all Jewish people. We have to silence him completely. We'll send a letter to the bank to let them know what type of Nazi anti-Semites they have running around here. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want you to tear down the statue of our folk hero. Yeah, it means you're a Nazi. It means you're a hateful, bigot Nazi. Hey, I'm concerned about the fact that there's a bunch of groups that seem to hate me, seem to hate white people, and are deliberately and effectively destroying the white population the world over. And I don't like that because I'm white. And why should I like that? Why would I like that? That's insane. That's crazy. I think I'll protest. Well, great. Now you're a Nazi. I think I'll stand up against the rigging of our election that we all witnessed play out in front of our eyes. Well, now you're a domestic terrorist, and we actually will send you to jail for decades on end. And it's happened to all of them. And InfoWars is no different, right? InfoWars, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, groups founded inside the bounds of the law to do nothing other than defend America against the attacks from the left. Every one of them demonized, sued, destroyed completely. Like, do you understand? They will literally take any resistance to them and turn it into domestic terror. And it's only going to get worse as we actually become less and less white as a population, and white people become more and more of a minority in our own country. We'll be afforded less and less consideration from anybody in power, and it's only going to get worse. And literally, even if you are just trying to stop the consequences of this, like, InfoWars has never been a white, you know, supremacy organization. Far from it, the opposite of it, right? Of course, we've got video of Alex Jones in 1999 bullhorning the KKK, pointing out that they were ADL operatives in a pretty obvious way. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're not a Nazi. They're going to call you one. It doesn't matter if you're just like, I want everybody to be free. They're like, all right, well, that includes, when you say everybody, includes white people, so you're kind of the bad guy. You have to explicitly exclude white people or else you are a Nazi. Or if you want to stop them from tearing down your heritage, you're a Nazi. If you want to stop them from stealing your election, you're a Nazi. If you want to stop leftists from beating up Trump supporters, you're a Nazi. If you want to speak out against the actual Nazis, you're a Nazi. It's all designed to eradicate Americans' ability to resist their attacks. That's it. It's simple. It's not complicated. I know I've spent like this whole hour just trying to like emphasize this one point, but like that's the important point. That's why the SPLC is bad. That's why it needs to be dismantled. And because they defrauded their dumbass liberal millionaire donors of a couple bucks, but because they are a part and parcel and a large part of the systematic elimination of freedom in this country and the eradication of white people in the world and the manipulation of the government to go after and destroy anybody who's trying to legitimately stand up for our rights and utilize the First Amendment. It's just, I just don't get why we can't see this for what it is, why we can't see these people for what they are, why we can't actually defend ourselves from their attacks in an appropriate way. Why does everything have to be done? Well, you can only go after them if you couch your opposition in anti-white rhetoric. As long as you're saying that what you're doing is going after the KKK, then you're allowed to do it. I don't give a damn about the KKK. Who the hell gives a damn about the KKK? I give a damn about the SPLC and the ADL. They're the dangerous ones. They're the hateful ones. They're the ones with power. They're the ones with influence. They're the ones who have destroyed people's lives and continue to on like a daily basis. They brag about it. They're the bad guys. They should be destroyed because of who they are, not because they happen to help the KKK by accident. Like, what are you talking about? Replace the letters SPLC with the letters KKK, and maybe you can understand like where I'm coming from if you're so brainwashed that I'm confusing you. How would you feel if, you know, the CNN reporter got up behind the desk and went, according to the KKK, Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization that should be shut down? You'd go, yeah, of course they would. They're the KKK. They're a hate group. They're going to say anybody opposing them is a domestic terrorist. Why would you listen to them? Yeah, it's the same thing with the SPLC. That's who the SPLC is. It's not because they're the KKK. It's not because they, you know, support, you know, white supremacists that they're bad. They're bad because they hate white people and are Jewish supremacists, if anything. But that's fine. That's legal. That's good. That's loving. Because you hate white people, it must be loving. Screw them. They should all be destroyed.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And Bendazole, Fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this has to be put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this in 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishealthcare.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishealthcare.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishealthcare.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishealthcare.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Remember, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. The InfoWars product fundraiser is on. April 30th will be your last chance ever to get official InfoWars merchandise. So go now while it's still in stock and while you can still get the official, the real deal, the actual God's honest truth InfoWars products. You're still getting 20% off, even though it's a fundraiser. It's your chance to get exclusive InfoWars products, support InfoWars directly, and help fuel the fight at this most critical time. You can also sign up and save. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy when you subscribe to any supplement. So any supplement at all, subscribe to it, get the monthly delivery. You get a big discount anyway because you're subscribing, and you get free Ultimate Chill and Ultimate Energy. And everything you buy at thealexjonesstore.com comes with a free gift. It's a mystery gift. You'll find out what it is, but we don't do stickers as mystery gifts. We do real gifts, usually like a shirt or a hat or something. I'm not even sure which this one is, but you'll have to find out by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Stuart Rhodes. He, of course, is a former attorney and founder of the original Oath Keepers organization. He was persecuted by the Biden administration for his role in the January 6th riots, which was really nothing but an unspoken conspiracy. That's what they called it. Totally ridiculous. You can go to oathkeepers.info. You can also contribute to their legal efforts by going to givesendgo.com/GAF5B. That's GAF5B. Stuart, you have long been a target of the SBLC. What's your feeling on the indictment here from the DOJ?
Yeah, so we were targeted since 2009 when I started the organization. It's no surprise at all to me. The SPLC has been doing this. We knew that a long time ago. We like Mike Vandenberg, the founder of the 3%er movement, who they also attacked. He called it conflation. They'll talk about neo-Nazis and talk about you, and then talk about Timothy McVeigh and talk about you as though you have anything to do with those other groups or individuals. That's what they always do to demonize anyone on the political right they don't like. And one of their last targets was Charlie Kirk, right? Before he was assassinated. So this is what they do to demonize and marginalize people on the political right. What I am shocked, though, by is that the DOJ is going after them. I'm kind of surprised by that. And so being a cynic as I am of anything that this current DOJ is doing that sadly is not acting much different than the Biden DOJ, I have to assume is a bigger game that maybe the ADL is now going to be, you know, put in the primary place to go after all of us so-called, you know, anti-Semites and white supremacists. They label anybody on the political right. So it might be that SPLC has just worn out its usefulness and they're getting rid of it. Because they had a lot of problems. You know, Morsi, one of the founders, was caught embezzling a bunch of money. They've had accusations from their own employees, you know, black employees accusing them of being racist, and female employees accusing them of being sexist. It's pretty funny. So it might be that it becomes so marginalized and ineffective in that sense that they've been thrown to the wolves as a sacrificial lamb. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you and I have pretty much the same reading of this. Because, yeah, I would love to just go, look, they're going after the SPLC. This is great. But it's like, but why? But why are they? And
we always wonder, right?
Yeah. And I couldn't quite remember, but I know, like, over the last couple of years, they've had a bunch of problems. Like, the SPLC is not sort of the keystone, you know, celebrated organization that it once was. Could this be just sort of like, you know, they see the poll numbers and are like, we got to get a win. Let's just go after the SPLC. That's sort of the sacrificial, you know, lamb that it's going on. It's on its way out anyway. Let's go ahead and, you know, chop it off the knees and take credit for it. Do you think that's what it is?
I mean, isn't it kind of sad though that when they're actually doing their job, we wonder if there's not some kind of ulterior motive, a nefarious purpose in them seemingly doing their job? Like with the recent motion by the DOJ to vacate all of our convictions for us remaining 12 that still didn't get pardons. I'm a cynic on that. I'm like, okay, is this really out of the kindness of their hearts? You're going to finally stand up for our rights, or is this them brushing their crimes under the rug? It's better for them to avoid the appeals. I'm leaning on that. And so with this too, it's like, what's the bigger game? That's what I wonder.
Yeah, I have to admit, I wonder that as well. I mean, I'm just kind of confused at what they've been charged with again. And maybe I'm just like off, you know, I'm just looking a gift horse in the mouth here. But, you know, to me, it's like, all right, is it really fraud that we're concerned about? To me, I'm concerned about what they just actually are doing, like the way that they've ruined people's lives and gotten people kicked off of bank accounts. I mean, that's like actual crimes against our rights. That is conspiracy to deprive us of our ability to express ourselves under the First Amendment. Like, that's the crime. I don't really care about the money laundering so much. Should we just accept it because that's the vector by which they thought to attack and they're hitting the SPLC? So great, we'll take it. Or, you know, I really wish we'd go after the heart of the matter and go, no, it's bad because of what they did, not because they stole money.
Well, it's a limited hangout. It's, yes, we're going to supposedly target them for these things. We're going to call it fraud and, you know, banking fraud. And they can defend themselves against that, I think, probably with skillful lawyers. They could say, oh, no, we were paying informants, so we would be able to more carefully monitor extremist groups. That's going to be their defense.
Right.
And so, yes, by not, like you're saying, I think you're making a good point, by not going after, I mean, they set up false flags that result in people's deaths, like you pointed out your last segment.
Yeah.
They helped to promote the shit show that was Charlottesville. Right. And we stayed out of that, by the way. I could tell that the guy putting it on was a Fed. It's obvious to me.
Tell us about that. Because I saw your tweet about that where you said he was begging you to come down. They were trying to rope you into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted Oath Keepers there. And like you said, you know, this is the sick thing about it. There were legitimate, and we were at many protests all across the South. against tearing down the statues and all the absurd, you know, communist revisionist thing they were trying to do to us. So we were opposed to that. And some of our men guarded Confederate cemeteries, actually. That's not in the news, but our Oath Keeper members, you know, Black Lives Matter swore they're going to go in there and tear up all the headstones. And so our guys posted out in front with rifles and said, no, you're not. And the local cops, you know, basically united with them against the BLM. You're not going to hear about that because that doesn't fit the narrative.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So we stayed out of it. I knew it was going to be, you know, basically a Nazi fest by manufactured. I knew they're going to be putting up, they had Diva Duke as a keynote speaker, for example. So they bring people in who are concerned about preserving heritage and stopping the communist destruction of our country, as you said. And then they bring in David Duke to speak and a bunch of guys with, you know, with Nazi flags and throwing Roman salutes. That way they can try to paint the entire political right as being that. That was the whole point of Charlottesville. That's why we stayed away from it. Didn't help though. We still got kicked off of PayPal right after that. They just started purging anybody on the political right off of platforms like PayPal. That's when the purge began. It really did. And it just got worse and worse until we were blackpilled or blacklisted off of everything in 2020. Facebook, Twitter, MailChimp. I mean, you name it. We got kicked off of everything.
Yeah,
even though we're not cookie cutter, poster boy, white supremacists, quite the opposite.
Right, of course. And that's, you know, I would say it's the irony, but it's really like it exposes what they're really all about. Because if they were actually genuinely concerned about the rise of hate, the rise of Nazism, they would look at places like InfoWars or the Oath Keepers and go, well, we want these guys around. These guys, mm-hmm. they aren't racist. They're not, you know, spreading hate. If right wingers want to gather, these are the guys they should go to because they're not the Nazis. They're not the alt-right. So it really exposes the fraudulence of what they claim to believe when they go after the Oath Keepers and InfoWars because we're so not the people that they claim to be going after. That's really enlightening, I think.
Yeah. And you know, as you said earlier, in the wake of President Trump's election, the violence of the left across the country was just everywhere. And Oath Keepers and Proud Boys stepped up to protect people all across the country many, like hundreds of times. And so, including in Washington, D.C., multiple times, like 9 times. And so, yeah, so that's why, you know, we all came prepared on J6. But they demonize everyone. That's what they do. They create an environment where it's supposedly, you know, cool to go punch a Nazi in the face. They paint all Trump supporters as Nazis. Even if you're black, they'll call you a Nazi. Look at Enrique Tarrio. Yeah. He's a white supremacist, black leader, apparently.
Yeah.
He's a black Klansman. So they just demonize you all they possibly can. Zero goodwill. They will never, ever take you seriously or honestly about what you say you're doing and why you're doing it. Like with the Oath Keepers, you know, they said, oh, in the wake of the election of the first black president, we see a rise in extremist groups. And they, once again, list a bunch of neo-Nazis, then list us, insinuate that we're doing this only because he's black. I could care less what color he was. I don't like him because he's a freaking communist.
Right.
And so, you know, so that's what they do. That's been, you know, that artificial conflation and demonization has been their entire point. I really believe behind that is the CIA. I think SPLC and ADL are fronts for the CIA and the Mossad. That's what I believe. That they're doing their bidding. It's the same narrative. It's the exact same play. It's the same thing we see across the world done to Western civilization. They're demonizing all white people because they want to destroy Western civilization and Christianity.
Yep.
And they know in the West is the stronghold for it. And they just want to kill it.
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's being secretly puppeteered by the CIA, like it's not even secret. I mean, the ADL trains every FBI agent. That's an acknowledged fact. They admit it. James Comey wrote a very loving letter about how, I mean, the ADL is the head on the body, right? I mean, they order the FBI to go take out their enemies and the FBI does and claims it's under national security. I mean, it's crazy how insinuated these groups are into our actual power structures, the power they have to simply decide you don't deserve to have banks anymore, and the banks just simply comply. I mean, it's really sick what they've been able to do, especially when you understand that they are just a hate group. They're literally no different than the KKK or the Nazis. They're just on a different team, and yet they're the ones dictating to us who's bad and who's good. It's, again, crazy. It shouldn't be allowed. So while I'm kind of happy that they're being taken down, I'm like, this is not the thing they should be taken down for. The ADL, they should all be taken down.
Well, they're not doing anything different than the FBI itself did for decades. The FBI has been caught over and over again, you know, manufacturing fake groups, fake crimes, whether it's the first Twin Tower bombing, whether it's, you know, Timothy McVeigh and the manipulation at Ilhelheim City, where it's very likely that both the FBI and Southern Poverty Law Center had informants in there. They all do it. So they're all putting out fake people around, like all the people around Edmund Bundy at Malheur, like 12 FBI undercovers were there, provocateurs were around him that day. Look at 274 of them at J6. So they all do it. They all have front groups. They all have provocateurs that they pay. And just is this SPLC doing the exact same thing the FBI does? So it's what's bizarre to watch the FBI go after the SPLC for doing the same thing they did. Right. That's why I think it's a good hangout. We're going to accuse them of fraud. We're not going to talk about false flags and complicity in violence and death.
Yeah, I agree. It's really, again, I think the crime that we should be focusing on is the deprivation of rights. Because the question is, a bunch of people want to tear down our statues, right? They have no right to do it, but the whole organization, I'll never forget, because I didn't do a show in 2020, so I just got to stay up all night, and every night I would watch these riots, and I mean, I've seen things, like nobody, I mean, it was crazy how much stuff every single night was happening. And I distinctly remember one instance where a crowd of people was trying to pull down this statue of a Confederate leader, and the mayor of the town shows up, black guy, and goes, guys, don't, you're going to hurt yourselves. Don't tear this down. Tomorrow morning, we'll have a construction crew come in and they'll tear it down. And it's just like, what the hell is going on? So the question is, how should we resist that? If we don't want it to happen, how should we resist it? Should we protest? Because that's exactly what Charlottesville was, and it was turned into a false flag. So what they're trying to do is basically make it to where you don't have any options. You just have to take it. And even trying to stand up and say, we don't like this, makes you a Nazi and you'll be kicked, you know, you'll have your life destroyed. It's so sick the way that they have hijacked these legitimate, protests and tried to turn it into hate. It's insane that it's worked so well.
Well, I mean, you have to just stop caring what they say. I stopped a long time ago. I call them salacious and preposterous lie center. And I call ADL the anti-American defamation league because they're defaming America. So I just, ridicule. Hey, use your tactics against them. Use Alinsky tactics, ridicule. They're an absolute joke. Point out how they are in bed with the FBI, in bed with the CIA. That's what we should be doing, is digging into those connections. Because you can bet that just as the CIA has a bunch of front companies, like the airline that Jeffrey Epstein has helped run for them, it's the same thing with the ADL. I think ADL and SPLC themselves are a front for the CIA and Mossad. But even if they're not, they're using the exact same tactics. Of course, they had shell companies that they use to go and funnel money to people so that no one would know what they were doing. It's the same thing the FBI does, same thing the CIA does, and has always done from the very beginning. So just expose it. The best and effective is sunlight. But I think most people on the political right realize now how ridiculous the Southern Poverty Law Center is. I mean, they attacked Dinesh D'Souza. They attacked, Charlie Kirk. They called a guy who was an ex-Muslim in England who was now becoming anti-Islamic. They called him a hate person, spreading hate, when he's actually Muslim. He's a moderate Muslim.
Right.
So anyway, the point is that they've lost a lot of credibility. And so I don't think we should give them the time of day on the political right. But just understand that there are still people out there that are being brainwashed by them on the left. And that's the one utility of taking them down, is maybe the people on the left will start going, wait a minute, did we get played? Maybe some of them start to wake up and realize they've been played.
I appreciate what you're saying, but forgive me if I'm not holding my breath for the left waking up to anything. I'm not either, brother. I wish they would. I mean, ideally, they'd see this and go, wait a second. I've been made a fool of here. They had me convinced that there was this white supremacy threat. It was them all along. Yes, if the left had a conscience, they would be able to look at this and go, whoa, I was tricked. Well, screw these people for tricking me.
I've seen that. I mean, we've seen people that are walkaway Democrats, just like Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr. They've come across them and they said, yeah, I was one of those people that believed all that bull. And now I realize it's not true. And they became Trump supporters. And, a lot of that's due to COVID. COVID opened a lot of eyes. But I think, I saw it in prison, man. I saw a lot of guys in prison like, oh, man, at first I thought Trump was a Nazi. I thought you guys were Nazis. Then I realized that that's just a bunch of bullshit. And I said, yeah, that's right. And after they interact with you, especially like, oh, man, you're my teacher in GED class. I know you're not a racist. I just take my time to help these guys learn how to read, whatever their freaking color was.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like we can mock it. We can know the truth. But when the bank listens to the SPLC and cancels your account and, there's no way to contact them, like that to me is the real issue. We can try to wake people up. But in the meantime, they still have this institutional power, and they can use it to shut up the people that are trying to tell the truth about them. So, you know, yeah. Again, it's like, it's almost, I don't know. I'm happy they're going after it, but it's kind of disappointing the way they're going after them. It's not sufficient.
I think we should just build on it. So, yeah, that's right. No surprise. This is, and go back and document. I mean, that book, One Nation Under Blackmail, is pretty good about exposing a lot of the nefarious activities of the CIA over and the FBI over generations with front companies and all that. And so this fits right in with that. This fits right in that model. You can have direct parallels between what the FBI and CIA has been caught red-handed doing right here in America and what SPLC did. Then you go, okay, let's see. They're very similar, right? It's the same people. It's like a different finger on the same hand.
Right.
They're all doing the same thing for the same goal. Same goal is divide and conquer, make Americans hate each other, make white Americans hate themselves, destroy this country. They're not doing the black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans any favors when they destroy our country, when they flood it with people from the third world. I mean, my Mexican relatives on my mother's side of the family don't like illegal aliens coming in because they take all the friggin' jobs. Any construction jobs, forget it. They're going to be taken. Same goes for H-1B visas coming in like crazy. They understand. I have relatives in the tech industry. They don't like that either. It's got nothing to do with race. It has to do with preserving this country for the American people of all colors.
But it does have to do with race, though, doesn't it? Because they're targeting us on the basis of race. So,
That's what I mean. We don't care about that, but they do. You're right. They absolutely do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I just think it's worth it to, like, you know, reiterate that, because, you know, we're being targeted on the basis of our race. It's okay to defend ourselves on the basis of race. They don't have a right to target white people, just like they wouldn't have a right.
Yeah. Western civilization is European civilization. It's white civilization.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a friggin', like with the Proud Boys, I'm a friggin' Western chauvinist. I'm a Christian nationalist. American Absolutely. Christian nationalist.
And again,
But you can be in that pool. I know black guys that I think are fantastic. Like one of the best guys I served prison time with was a Marine veteran, top-notch guy. He has your back no matter what. And he didn't like hanging out with the guys from the hood, with the thugs, because that's not his culture. His culture was the Marine Corps.
Right.
That's his culture. That's his family.
Yeah. It's hard to go back, I think. Once you go through the boot camps, it changes you pretty
right,
sufficiently.
Makes a man out of you.
Yeah. No, and of course the SPLC would target that guy as you know, hatefully as they've targeted you or us or anybody.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
They label people like that. They call them white adjacent.
Right.
You used to get a laugh out of that. Anybody, if you're a conservative black man or a conservative Hispanic man, they call you white adjacent, like you're trying to be a white man.
Yeah.
It's incredibly insulting.
And again, if they were sincere about their mission, if they actually, you know, were actually concerned about the rise of Nazism, they obviously wouldn't be funding them, first of all. Like that, you know, should go without saying. But they would be,
right. They'd
be like actually going, hey, you're really conservative. Go to the Oath Keepers. Go to the Proud Boys. Go to InfoWars, because those guys.
Well, they knew.
Yeah.
They knew. In fact, the Mike Giglio, that piece of crap journalist that did a hit piece on us for The Atlantic. I made the mistake of talking to this guy. But he told me, he said he had talked to the Southern Poverty Law Center about me, about Oath Keepers, and they knew I was overtly anti-racist. And they even told him if there was actually a civil war in this country, the first people the Oath Keepers would kill would be the white supremacists. And they know that. So they, behind the scenes in private, they'll tell this journalist that, and he's like, well, I won't go on the record to say that. But that's what they told me. They knew we were anti-racist, and yet they still did that false conflation smear of talking about white supremacists and then talking about us.
Yeah.
You know, actually now, ironically, I'm far more awake and aware of the desire to destroy white people. So, and now it's like they're forcing us to start, and they're with what they would consider as acting like white nationalists because we want to stand up for Western civilization. Like you said, you're completely right. Because we don't want this destroyed, which is what our forefathers built, most of them were European. That is what they want to destroy. That's what we're defending. So if you defend Western civilization, which is white culture, they want to call you a racist. I don't care what they call me anymore. I just don't care.
Yeah, and of course, it's a very simple sort of, you know, algorithmic thing where they go, you know, white people are bad. White people are evil. Also, white people wrote the Constitution and gave you your freedoms. Therefore, those freedoms are actually kind of an expression of white supremacy. So I guess you have to give up your freedoms now. Like, it's not sophisticated.
Well, it's Christianity.
It's kind of blunt.
The real target, frankly, is Christianity.
Right.
And they will hate every Christian. They don't care if you're a black Christian. They don't care if you're a brown Christian or Asian Christian. If you're a Christian, they hate you and they fear you because you can't be controlled because you're only no king but Jesus. You're only the only people that only one only that dictates your life is Christ. They fear that more than anything else. So I think at the very bottom of this is attack on Christianity. That's why Christians all over the world are being attacked. Even in Israel, right? Christians are being spit on and beaten and attacked. Go try to start a church in Israel. See how that goes. So all over the world, they're demonizing Christianity. That's why they flooded us with Muslims around the world. In fact, you got some rabbis in Israel saying that, you know, Islam is the broom of Zionism, to sweep away Christianity in the West. So my eyes are wide open about this now, and on Israel in particular.
Yeah.
The common denominator is hatred of Christianity and hatred of Western civilization. Whether they're a communist atheist, dual citizen Israeli, or whether they're an Orthodox rabbi who hates the West and hates Christianity and is using mass migration to destroy it.
Yeah.
They don't love Muslims. They hate them too, but they hate Christianity above all.
Because it stops you from being controlled, because, you know, appreciation of what the founding father said stops you from being controlled.
Right.
It all goes back to control. If white people were just nice and compliant and, you know, submissive, they'd love us too. But we got this history of standing up and not being suppressed.
Like Alex said in his segment this morning, it's true. The backbone of the U.S. military has always been white people. White working class, most of them rural, but some from the cities. I was in basic training with guys from Washington, D.C. and friggin' New York City. But the backbone of the military has always been the Scotch-Irish in
yep.
the South. That's just reality. And that's your backbone of your military. Those are the guys that do most of the fighting and dying. And, of course, in the Biden years, you completely demonize those people as being horrible and toxic. So no wonder they had a weak military. So they fear, they hate and fear Christianity, but they also do hate and fear that Scotch-Irish tradition of being warriors. They understand it, that it's powerful and it's got a lot of, even today, it's a threat to them. So they want to destroy that. But so I think our answer is to have more kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And your best to raise your kids right.
Hey, whatever makes, you know, the SPLC mad, and clearly they're trying to track our downfall. But of course, you know, we say it all the time, but it's a weird form of inverted white supremacy when white people are just like, we're fine. Yeah. No, we don't need protection. Attack us all you want. Sure, we can welcome in the whole world. We're white after all. It's like, you idiots. You're not special. You can be destroyed too. And that's exactly what they're doing. Incredible stuff. Thank you so much. Stuart Rhodes, go to oathkeepers.info, gibsongo.com/GAF5B.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale
as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. I'm going to be joined by Kevin Posobiec in this hour, but I want to go to a little preview, a little hint, a little peek behind the curtain and under the mask of the left wing in this country. As we've been reporting for a while, and we just keep getting reminders and confirmation of this. We'll go to clip 22 here. The left, their strategy now is to run the most milquetoast, seemingly benign, like wine moms as candidates. And they'll say all the right stuff. They'll talk in sort of vague terms about helping people and families and, you know, just sort of normal stuff that will appeal to low information voters. And then as soon as they're in office, they govern like their Chairman Mao. Now, Alison Spanberger has obviously done that over and above what anybody, you know, would have expected. And of course, the media plays their part in downplaying what's being done or simply not reporting on what's being done. So people who voted for her thinking she's a moderate will still think she's a moderate because they don't know the fact that their entire state has been taken over by communists and basically democracy itself has been destroyed. It's crazy, but that's where they're starting. They have a lot bigger plans. Let's go to clip 22 here. Here's Virginia Governor Spanberger talking about sort of what they plan to do next. She's a CIA agent, by the way. Let's watch.
Do you worry that states, districts all over the country now will just go tit for tat trying to do this, not every 10 years, but whenever they feel the need?
I certainly think that that is a fair concern, which is why absolutely when Democrats take a majority in the House of Representatives, my hope and expectation will be that there will be serious conversations about redistricting reforms and the process by which all 50 states will take on redistricting efforts. But I think essential to the conversation, as I mentioned, in Virginia was our commitment to our bipartisan commission. And so I think it's important that every step along the way, we weren't saying, okay, this is the new normal of this kind of tit for tat. We were saying at this moment, we are taking a responsive and temporary step. And we in the Commonwealth of Virginia are committed to getting back to that bipartisan commission. So I think that that was an essential part of the discussion here.
So that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like right there when it's, you know, these are essential parts of the discussion, and we have to get back to a more fair and balanced and equitable voting system. And the translation of that is we're cheating to eradicate all of the Republican districts in our state. It's essentially what they did. So, like, here's a person who won the election by something like 5%, right? This wasn't an overwhelming victory. This wasn't a mandate. This wasn't 90% of people voting for her because she ran on the basis of redistricting. This is taking a blue state, or a purple state rather, that it leans blue sometimes and red sometimes, and turning it into a permanent Democrat powerhouse forever. That's what's happening here. They've gone from like half of their congressmen being Republican, half of them Democrat, eliminate most of the Republican ones. So now it's all Democrats. It's crazy, but that's just what they did. So from here on out, if this stands, now a judge has already put in a stop for this because it's so clearly politically motivated and based on nothing other than what would be good for the Democrats. And it turns out that you can't just rewrite the election so that you always win. That's not actually how this is supposed to work. So hopefully the judge's stay works out. But just know that that's Alison Spanberger, CIA agent, who said that when the Democrats win the federal elections, they're going to basically redistrict the entire country. They're going to do to the entire country what Virginia just did, which is systematically and very carefully eliminate all of the Republican representation. So even if your state is half Republican, you'll get about 5% representation because the Democrats have cheated. And that's what they intend to do on the national level. So you can add that to the list that Democrats have provided for us of things like granting statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico so they can unlock four extra seats in the Senate, packing the Supreme Court with not from 9 justices up to 13, adding another 4 left-wing justices to the court, reopen the U.S.-Mexico border and grant mass amnesty to every single alien currently living inside the United States. And the advice from James Carville is don't talk about it, Or don't talk about it. Just do it. So just lie to get elected and then be a tyrant.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on fan.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour is on. I'll be joined shortly by Kevin Posobiec. I do want to remind you once again that you are very rapidly running out of time to get your official InfoWars merchandise. We will be shutting down in 8 days, and that'll be it. But don't wait. We're going to be selling out of products from here until then. So make sure that you get your official InfoWars branded merchandise now while you still can. Even if you're just setting it to the side and keeping it as a collector's item, soon official InfoWars products will be no more. It is your last chance, and we make it easy for you to get them by giving you a discount, 20% off InfoWars product fundraiser merchandise. It's your last chance to get exclusive InfoWars products, support InfoWars directly, and help fuel the fight at our most critical time. As we are about to launch our new network, we need sort of the biggest booster rocket that we can get right now. You're also getting a massive discount on supplement subscriptions. So any supplement that you enjoy and buy regularly, I suggest you put them on subscription, meaning you're getting it every month, and you get 50% off when you put it on subscription. And you also get a free bottle of either the Ultimate Chill or the Ultimate Energy supplements. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus, while Ultimate Energy supports energy drive and mental intensity. And, of course, you get those for free when you sign up for the regular deliveries of our other supplements, any other supplement, that is. And, of course, on top of all of that, as if you needed another incentive, you're going to get a free gift with any order at thealexjonesstore.com. Go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome Kevin Posobiec. You can follow him on Instagram at Kevin Posobiec. He is a field correspondent for Real America's Voice and Human Events with Jack Posobiec, his brother. And he was just in Ireland, or maybe you still are in Ireland, but I know you were there checking out the sort of chaos on the streets of Ireland. He got some very, very enlightening and interesting videos. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, I sure did. Thanks for having me, Harrison. And I appreciate you giving me the platform to make my plea deal here for asylum status. I'm but a wee carpenter from America, and I'm looking for, you know, refugee status from my country, which is at war. So I'm looking for asylum status in Ireland. So thanks for having me.
Well, you'll probably get, I understand the door's wide open. Asylum available for, they'll give you a ride. They'll kill any Irish people that try to stop you from living there. I mean, they seem to be desperate for, asylum seekers right now. So, how's that going, do you think, for Ireland?
Well, legally, Harrison, anybody that is eligible can be Irish. So technically, you know, so we have, I think, a majority of Somalians coming. And they have been witnessing an insurgency since the 90s. And so technically, they, once qualified, share the same qualifications as any Irish citizen would for the welfare programs. So yeah, I'm happy to put my own cap in, as they say. So hopefully next time maybe we talk, I'll be an Irish asylum seeker officially.
Wow, you'd be treated rather well. I think they're treated better than Irish citizens. I mean, they get houses paid for. I mean, we've seen, you know, Irish people struggling to get houses. The migrants are not struggling to get houses. They're getting, you know, fully loaded hotels and all sorts of great stuff. And we're sort of, you know, treating this lightly because, you know, the whole thing's kind of absurd. But, like, they're killing Ireland. Like, what's happening to Ireland is, like, really actually very serious and, like, inexplicable if you actually take their words for it. Because we hear all the time that, well, you know, England and all these places, you have to take asylum seekers because, you know, you invaded their country first. Ireland's never invaded anybody. What did Ireland do to deserve this? Just tell us about your experience in Ireland, and have you noticed the influx of migrants?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I certainly have. And I got to say, to start off, that there are so many parallels between America and Ireland. It's astonishing. So if you take liberal cities in America, you know, they're mostly blue and whatnot. So it's the same in Dublin. Okay. And I can't express enough as well how much vitriol I got as an Irish American just visiting, being that, you know, I am from America. It was unbelievable how much hate was given towards me, and discrimination and oppression, like literally for being there as a Yankee. Okay. One of the PG terms I was called. And I don't want to say the other ones, but yeah, my goodness, Harrison. So that's what I noticed in Dublin, when I got there, especially my reporting, on X. I originally went for the fuel protests. Okay. So that's what was happening about a week ago, formally all around the country, where they're experiencing a 60% increase in taxes for their petrol. Okay. And a lot of the cars and trucks over there use diesel engines. Okay. And this is not only for travel, but also to heat your homes. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling in other interviews, just imagine if anyone from the squad or like AOC was a president in America. And, you know, on top of paying for these Green New Policy deals, you know, it's basically like the Irish are paying $8 to $10 a gallon for gas.
Whoa.
All right. And then you take on top of that, I mean, we're seeing worldwide the Iran conflict inflating prices. So not giving them any relief from that. And then also, you know, as you can see in the B-roll here is another tax for migrants and refugees, asylum seekers, whatnot. So it's just incredible. It's just incredible to see.
And this is your footage that we're playing, right? And you posted this, I believe, saying, you know, you went to visit Ireland and didn't see any Irish people there. I mean, it really is shocking how you just don't see Irish people in these videos. It's all foreigners, like 100%. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And yeah, I joked a bit there in the video. I asked these guys if they knew where St. Patrick's Cathedral was. And a lot of Irish nationalists there are pushing for, just like as we see in Texas, you know, restrictions against building mosques in Ireland and in Texas. So, yeah, they're just all over the place. And again, like the parallels with America are stark and very clear, in so much as, you know, migrants, as we've seen in New York City and up in Maine, they get preferential treatment towards landlords, because they get guaranteed rent. You know, right. If you or I were to own an apartment building, you know, with 10 units or so, say, you know, would you rather take the risk with, you know, these oppressed Irish citizens who have to pay all these taxes to pay rent every month?
Right. You sort of froze
the EU
there.
Policies. And,
there we go. You froze there for a second. But, yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. And, of course, we've seen that the hotels will actually bump their prices up because it's guaranteed. The government doesn't give a damn. So they go, oh, I can fill my entire hotel guaranteed for the next 5 months, $400 a room. Yeah, I'll take that deal. And then on top of it, I've seen specific examples in places like the UK, but I'm sure it's the same in Ireland. The hotels themselves are often owned by foreigners. So it's Irish taxpayer dollars paid to a foreign conglomerate so that foreigners can stay in their hotel. It's just fraud and crime on an industrial scale.
It absolutely is. And, you know, a hope shot here would be, you know, you talk about guys like Nick Shirley and whatnot that go after fraud in California and all. And there's I've met an Irish equivalent of that, and it was great to see. And yeah, it's just the same thing. There's rumors that Chinese are coming in to buy these properties in downtown Dublin. You know, unconfirmed. So, you know, don't throw me under the bus for that, but definitely foreigners, the likes of like BlackRock and whatnot, coming in to buy these cheap properties downtown and then just throw a bunch of bunk beds in there and get government incentives to afford for people. And to point out too, Dublin is the capital. And what did President Trump have to do but clean up DC? Okay. Right. Here with drugs and crime. So it's the same thing happening in Dublin. All the while, you know, we have the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, President Connolly saying Dublin is safe. Tourism is up. You know, come on down and grab a Guinness with us and dance like a leprechaun. Ireland's never been more welcome for everybody. Apparently, except for Irish Americans like me. And they call me every name in the book.
So it was the native Irish calling you names?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The ones that know how to use social media, at least.
Huh.
So, you know, it's a bunch of keyboard warriors. I mean, you take the Irish stereotype, some of the most passionate speakers on earth. Okay. And, nobody said that to my face directly. I gotta say a lot of the Irish patriots did message me and welcome me and, you know, encourage me to seek out, Donegal, Galway, Belfast, Cork, you know, everywhere outside the cities to show what the real Ireland is like. And, but aside from that, so yeah, there's some pictures you could see there downtown Dublin. I see like drug dealers and trash and all kinds of, you know, it's very similar too. Even the architecture, Harrison, is similar because why is it similar to American cities? Well, it's because a lot of the Irish came to America and built American cities. That's why it's similar looking.
Yeah. I think a lot more people of Irish ancestry live in America than even live in Ireland right now, which is kind of a shame. It seems like, you know, we could be helping them out. We could be helping them preserve their island rather than be replaced entirely by, you know, a giant swath of third worlders. Do you think, like, being there on the ground, what was the atmosphere like? Like, would you say the majority of people were outraged what was going on? Were the majority of people brainwashed like you see here in America? Just what was your sense overall of the general, you know, attitude of the average Irish person?
Well, the average Irish person, I would say in Dublin, is very clandestine and, you right. know, kind of hidden back, especially once they find out, I'm American media. And apparently I was one of the only representatives of American media there, right. which was a shock to me. And then they find out, you know, I'm a Mr. MAGA agenda with Mr. Trump. So, you know, they were very reluctant. It's either 50-50, either they, you know, everybody will talk to you, but once you bring up the camera and say, hey, would you want to give an interview with me? It's like totally shut down.
Right.
So, or, you know, get some young guys. I was trying to do like a TikTok reel kind of thing and they just like straight up lie to you. They're like, I love immigration. Immigrants, you know, taxes are great. What do you mean?
Right.
So they're facing much harsher penalties and understandably so. Again, imagine if Kamala Harris or Hillary Clinton, AOC were in office and they enacted these stiff censorship rules upon us, you know, a lot of American citizens would be behaving the same way and being reluctant to get on camera and voice their opinions. And, I found out, in particular, again, a shocker to me was that the Irish don't protest as much as we do in America. They have slightly different laws, and it's not like the Black Lives Matter marches and what you see in D.C. like once a week, if not every day. Apparently, this fuel protest with the farmers was the most significant and largest that Ireland has seen since the Easter Uprising in 1916.
Whoa.
So when they do protest, my goodness, you got to look out because they're coming. And, you know, it was an honor to be part of that and to be there. So, but otherwise, you know, that it's like they're passionate and they do have strong opinions. But they're reluctant to express them the way we do in America.
Right. No, I mean, it's a problem all across Europe. And I saw two different stories in the last few days where they were saying, you know, the polls show that, you know, 90% of UK school children say that they're nervous about expressing themselves out of fear of being canceled. And it's like, well, it's not being canceled. It's being, like, arrested, because you can get arrested if you say the wrong thing there. And, like, clearly it has an effect. It gets people to be silent themselves. And it's just tragic that this is happening and people aren't even able to stand up against it. And what's happening in Ireland, it sort of seems like an amalgamation of all this stuff, because we have seen anti-immigrant protest in Ireland. They get kind of brutally shut down. But then you've got this fuel protest, which is made so much worse by the Iran war. So it's sort of all these different damaging, you know, policies going into effect all over the world that are all sort of combining to deprive the Irish people of a future. It's really sick. So why was it this fuel protest in particular that was so big, do you think? I mean, the biggest since 1916, that's monumental. Well, why do you think that was?
It's because it's so steep. It's so steep and it's unnecessary. Okay. So I was interviewing a fisherman from Donegal. Like, the Irish don't want handouts. They don't want to live lazy. They like working. They like farming. They like fishing. They're blue collar, champions. Okay. So these fishermen and farmers can't even afford to run their tractors or their boats, let alone heat their houses or feed their families. So it's not asking for much. But again, like, you know, you take the example of the lobstermen in Maine, okay, in the Trump's first administration, when there were restrictions because we had to, the environmental restrictions, because we had to save the whales' breeding grounds, okay? So all of a sudden you have these lobstermen that lose their livelihoods because of it. And it's just kind of unnecessary. And we saw President Trump walk that back in such a way that, you know, these just regular lobstermen can just fish for lobster, okay? So they're not asking for much. And it's a 60% tax. It's a it's just this crazy and you know, talk about carbon tax, okay? It's great, sure. Like, Ireland has a heart for people. They want to let everybody in. Okay, like, Irish went all over the world. I get it. But at the same time, like, how about Russia and their carbon footprints? How about China and their carbon emissions and their pollution? Like, where's the tax on them? Hey, throw in America. You know, we're how many times larger than Ireland? Why does the EU and Irish accomplices here, why do they impose these taxes on top of the Iran conflict tax hikes? Okay. So, you know, hopefully, and it could end whenever they want to. Okay. You know, and ideally the Iran conflict will come to a closer soon enough, and then gas prices will go down collectively as well. So they're being pinched on all fronts here. And so you even talk about alternative energy real quick too, Harrison, is Ireland's known for the peat bogs. Okay. Right. Like the peat bogs, they're protected now. So back in the day, Irish, you know, you used to be able to go in your backyard or back in the forest and shovel out some peat, throw it in your fireplace and heat your home. Nope. Can't do that anymore. It's all protected. Okay. So you can't even do that. And then I've also hearing that, nuclear power is banned in Ireland as well. So, you know, they're limited to one oil refinery, but also, you know, again, with alternative energy, there's talks of thorium reactors, and it's basically a smaller concept of nuclear energy, and it's much more safe. But either way, it's banned in Ireland, but it's not in France. So now what they're trying to do is lobby for these French nuclear power plants to provide electricity to Ireland, right, and not Ireland itself. Again, like another globalist arm, like on top of the UK, mind you, like historically, another globalist arm to control Ireland's sovereignty.
Yeah. And again, you know, you look at the history of Ireland and it's like, can these people get a break already? I mean, my God, they've never done anything to anybody, but they're constantly being put upon. They're constantly being attacked. I mean, their whole recent history over the last century has been, you know, just desperately trying to get out from under imperialism from the UK. As soon as they do, they all get replaced by a bunch of people from Senegal. It's like, what the hell's going on here? And again, the interpretation of this is so bizarre. I've got a story here. It's from a leftist magazine, but you know, it's what you'd expect. As fuel protests sweep Ireland, the left points to imperialism as the culprit. What? Like, what are they even talking about? They want to blame everything except for the reality. It's like they have this way of saying things where they're like, soaring cost of living, lack of healthcare access, and fragile food systems within Ireland have contributed to a rise in anti-immigrant rhetoric and far-right ideologies. It's like, well, people are being, you know, discriminated against and hurt, and they don't like it. But that's far-right. That's Nazi. You're not allowed to believe that. So I don't know. Imperial. Is that the problem? Is Ireland being too imperial? Like, what is that? What's going on, man? I don't even know what question I'm asking. It's just like, it's so insane. I don't even know what to make of it.
They don't even know what to make of it themselves. Again, like a lot of these people, they like to caricaturize Americans. Okay. You take the leprechaun, for instance, and they see Trump. They just wrote off Trump ever since the first term. They're very reluctant to accept any of his wins and accomplishments. And, you know, it's been a long time since he's been president. So we have to collect the wins and the losses. But, I mean, the Irish are just, I mean, being an Irish American myself, I can confidently say they're very stubborn and thick headed here. And, you know, a lot of it is such the case that the spectrum is so far left that the common sense, policies moving forward or being proposed seem to be far right to them. Okay. And that was the case of, I believe her name was Eileen or something. She was making statements in the Dáil recently about just having the tricolor flag, which is the traditional flag of Ireland. Again, it's the same thing that we see in America. It's like, oh, if you're waving an American flag, all of a sudden you're an American extremist. Okay.
Crazy.
So with that, while I was there that week, I did get to witness the vote of no confidence being brought into the Dáil. And for the American audience, that's basically the same as the Capitol building here. It's a parliamentary system with a president and a Taoiseach, but it narrowly passed. All right. And, you know, of course, it wasn't a popular vote. The public didn't get to vote on it. I guess it was only internal. So, of course, the corrupt government would vote for confidence in itself to continue. And however, if it were to be overturned, that would be the equivalent of President Trump having to resign immediately and the cabinet resign immediately until a new government was voted in, which the people had confidence in. So we have yet to see. It was unfortunate, but, you know, these farmers protested to such a degree that it caused that vote to be put on the floor. And there were some very heroic speeches made, some patriots stepping up. You know, they were the one guy, Ken O'Flynn, he went pretty viral for speaking up and giving his speech.
Yep.
So much so that it kind of oppressed some female democratic socialists. And it's funny to see, but it's also great to see, Harrison, because, you know, thanks to social media and, you know, platforms like X and Rumble and whatnot, you know, we are able to be connected now. And yeah, a lot of the Irish patriots did reach out to me and give their thanks. You know, and I reached back to them and said, hey, like whatever I could do to help you guys, just to boost the message that you're already, putting together here.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do a lot more than that. Personally, we won't go into it here, but I really think, you know, I personally am looking to Ireland to sort of lead the way on this, because if any country in Europe, I think, could manage to have the will to stand up and not be, you know, eradicated like they're doing, it would be Ireland. And whatever we can do to help, I'm ready and willing to do it. Thank you so much for being with us. Kevin Posobiec, follow him on Instagram at Kevin Posobiec. He, of course, is a field correspondent for Real America's Voice and Human Events with Jack Posobiec. And go watch the videos of him in Ireland. They're crazy.
Right now is the time to support InfoWars' Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues for all of you. The AlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Shows Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them, and we will continue on. But I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, it is all incredible, top-rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. all the original InfoWars products we're not going to sell once this goes through. Because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigly. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy Incredible Formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode until the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the Onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to, I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism, torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this. With Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to theoliveshowstore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And it's a free app. TheAlexJonesApp.com, Android, on Apple, it's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. And you get big discounts on the shopping cart when you do it through the app. AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up. But I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank you all for your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an Info Warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knife, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife, comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room here on InfoWars.com, band.video. We're going to get into some of the mysterious disappearances and deaths of scientists and UFO researchers in this segment. But I want to start here with a video of Jim Jordan, who has always been good. He's always been on the right side of things. But a lot of people, myself included, and a little disappointed at the inability of Republicans in Congress to get really anything done. And we've sort of heard rumblings of justice being delivered, but it never actually comes to fruition. But it seems like they're digging down. It seems like they're getting serious. This is Jim Jordan talking about not just the SBLC, but Act Blue and the method that they have used to defraud people, including just America as a whole. And this is what needs to happen. Act Blue, SPLC, the ADL, Canary Mission, Stop Anti-Semitism, all of these organizations, the Catholic Charities, they all need to be shut down. There is no reason. There is nothing about, you know, being a nation that requires that you permit well-funded cabals of subversive elements to dismantle your country from the inside out. There's no reason why this should be allowed. There's no reason, like, it's out of fairness. It's like, well, you know, you gotta let hostile foreigners, have power over your law enforcement. That's just, you know, it's democracy after all. No, this is ridiculous. There's no reason why we should allow any of these organizations to operate. The minute that we sniff the hint of corruption, they should be shut down completely. And really, the people that run it should be arrested. I don't know why we let these organizations run. I don't know why they get away with the crap they get away with. There's so much overwhelming evidence for all of these organizations to be shut down. I mean, the ADL, it goes back to them spying on Martin Luther King Jr. for the FBI before the FBI killed him. Like, they're bad. All of these groups are just bad. Act Blue has been caught red-handed. Jim Jordan gets into a little bit of it here, but even he kind of, like, I don't know if he's just being careful and he's like, he doesn't want to be perceived as being hyperbolic, because he's not exactly downplaying what's happening, but he's not expressing what really happens to the fullest degree. Act Blue launders money. Act Blue takes people who have donated once and then claims that they've donated 100 times, and then people like James O'Keefe will go ask them, have you ever donated to Act Blue? And they say, yeah, once 10 years ago. And he's got receipts from Act Blue saying they've donated $30,000 in the last month. And they're like, what? No way. That wasn't me at all. Okay. That instant that that evidence becomes available, there should be a crime report. There should be an investigation. I mean, right? What are we doing here? There's literally millions and millions of dollars being poured into our electoral system through this. Why does Act Blue exist? What is Act Blue? It's a laundry machine. It's the only thing it does. It takes in donations and it puts out donations. Why does it even exist? The only reason is to launder money. Why would you need an organization to take money from a donator and give it to a candidate? Can't the person just give it to the candidate? Why should they even have to go through Act Blue first? What is this? Why is this allowed to operate? It's just insane. We just have literal, like, hostile communist infiltrators running organizations that inform our law enforcement or donate tens of millions of dollars to our candidates. And the best we can hope for is that maybe we can twist what they do into sounding like white supremacy so we can charge them for being in the KKK. It's like, this is so stupid. This is all so very stupid. Here's Jim Jordan talking about how Act Blue should very much be next on the chopping block for giant Democrat scams. Let's watch.
House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, who's been spearheading the investigation into Act Blue. Mr. Chairman, great to see you again.
Good to be with you, David.
So 146 times they invoked the Fifth Amendment. What were the questions you're asking them that they won't answer?
All kinds of questions about their fraud, their so-called fraud prevention measures in place, what they did, what kind of money they accepted, all kinds of questions that they just took the fifth on. But understand, you said that's a lot of money, that 550, yeah. I think 60-some million.
568.
It was 3.8 billion in the 24 cycle.
Wow.
So this is literally the money machine for the left, for the Democrats. In 2023, Ms. Wallace Jones responds to an inquiry from Congress and says everything is fine. Then in 2024, they lowered the fraud standards in the run-up to the presidential election. They lowered the fraud standards, and then they don't follow the standards that they lowered. And then we find out right after the election, four people resign and the general counsel is fired when we start asking questions about that. We bring those five people in and they all take the fifth. And then the kicker is what we just heard in the report. Their lawyer, so not Jim Jordan saying this, not Brian Stiles saying this, their lawyer says, hey, that response you gave Ms. Wallace Jones back in 23, it looks like you weren't clear, you weren't honest, and you may have misrepresented the facts. That's a nice way of saying you lied. And again, we didn't say that.
Yeah.
Their own lawyer at Covington & Burling said that, and their lawyer happened to be Dana Remus, White House counsel, former White House counsel for Joe Biden. So when you see all this smoke, there's probably a fire.
Now, $568 million just in the first quarter, and billions, as you mentioned, over years, They say the money came from small donations. Now, there's a term called smurfing,
yeah,
where very large donations are broken into a lot of smaller ones to make it harder to follow. Is there any evidence that smurfing was going on here, and that's why they claim they can't get to the bottom of where the donations came from?
And we have some anecdotal evidence where you'll find a donor who says, yeah, I gave $10 online to ActBlue, but I didn't give $1,010 contributions to ActBlue over time. So they'll see, like, so that's one of the big concerns we have is, oh yeah, you might have a donor, but then that person's information, their social security number, their identifier, their passport number gets used multiple times. Where's that money coming from when the donor themselves says, I only contributed once. I didn't contribute 10 times, right, 100 times. So we're looking into all that. And again, they lowered their own standards, didn't follow the standards they lowered. After the election in 24, five people either resign or are fired. And the guy who was fired was their general counsel. And guess what? He got this sweetheart severance package from ActBlue. And part of the deal was, if you're going to talk to anyone, you got to run it through ActBlue first. So he couldn't just come answer. So that's the system they set up. And all that happens shortly after the 2024 election.
I want to switch to another very important story that Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has been talking about. He's telling Democratic Congresswoman in the sound I'm going to play, Rosa DeLauro, that federal grants have also been funding the Democratic Party. Roll that tape.
The Wildlife Refuge System, the administration is proposing steep cuts in that effort. When I look at some components of the Fish and Wildlife Service are proposed for complete elimination, that includes the state and tribal wildlife grants. Is that wrong?
We found organizations that were receiving grants from Interior where 80 to 100% of the revenue of that NGO was a grant from the federal government. And yet those organizations, we were the sole source of their revenue, but they would have a CEO making $650,000 and four $400,000 lobbyists.
Chairman, we only got about 15 seconds, but that sort of reminds me of what EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin was finding out about the billions spent on the EPA grants to nonprofits in the last couple of days of the Biden administration, right?
Yeah, and what Elon found with DOES, with USAID. So, yeah, but one thing the left's good at, the left's always good at using your money against you. So it's your tax money, it goes to these NGOs, and it gets spent on some left-wing cause. Many times it gets funneled around a little bit and gets used to run against the actual candidates that we're opposed to. So it gets to help Democrat candidates. They always use your money against the things and the policies that you care about. It's the phenomenon of the left.
And, of course, the socialists running those NGOs are getting paid millions of dollars. They're fine with taking a lot of money. It's easy to condemn capitalism if you're a millionaire based on what you're getting from taxpayers.
Said.
All right. Chairman, great to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
So there's Jim Jordan just giving a breakdown of just some of the scams going on. ActBlue employees took the Fifth in House depositions 146 times in probe on alleged donor fraud. Tell you what, shut it down. But why don't you just shut it down? How about you just go, well, until you're willing to answer questions, you can't be a charity anymore. What? Again, it's just like, why? Why do we allow them to operate? It is so crazy. They have to have our permission. They have to have the government's permission. But of course, the government's the one funding them. I mean, this whole thing is just absurd. And it just goes to show you whether it's the SPLC, the ADL, the ActBlue. It's all just giant machines of fraud, whether they're laundering money or false flagging racism so they can scam more money out of the United States government. Because that's what happens, right? The SPLC pays some white supremacists to go out and cause violence or, you know, protest and wave a swastika around. And then the SPLC points to their own actor and goes, look at how bad white supremacy is. We need more money. We need more donations. We need more power. And then they get it. It's just, it's all fraud. And we could shut it down at any point. I don't know why we're obligated to allow these organizations to exist when they do not exist for any other reason than fraud. It's just completely insane. It really is. Now, we're going to talk about a topic that's gotten a lot of attention, and increasingly so because more and more people keep dying or going missing or disappearing in extremely mysterious circumstances. The count now, depends on who you listen to, could be up to 13 people related to or associated with all sorts of stuff, but all kind of in the same wheelhouse, whether it's black holes or UFOs, UAPs, nuclear energy, even like medical testing that uses radiology. It's a very suspicious and very large swath of people who have gone missing. And I'm about to show you videos from two of maybe the most suspicious disappearances or deaths. One is David Wilcock. Boulder death probe sparks concern about writer and UFO specialist. And this actually broke yesterday, but it hadn't been confirmed. If you're watching yesterday, you heard me say there's been reported of a death, but it wasn't confirmed yet. Now it has been confirmed. So a death probe in Boulder County fueled rumors that paranormal writer David Wilcock died. Now TMZ reports that Wilcock has passed away at 53. Unspecified sources to report that the paranormal writer has on YouTube and YouTuber has passed away. Anna Paulina Luna announced the death of David Wilcock's passing on X. We just learned of the tragic passing of David Wilcock. We are praying for his family and the loved ones and the millions that are impacted. A death investigation in Boulder County, Colorado sparked a claim that popular paranormal writer and streamer may have passed away. And again, this would be very suspicious as it seems to align with the other disappearances. And David Wilcock himself had commented on that during one of his final live streams before passing away. We can go to clip number 29. So I guess this was his, from his final video, the last video that he made. And of course, he is very aware of and suspicious of the disappearances, that the list of which will soon include him. Kind of creepy. Let's watch.
I'm excited to be here. You know, every day that I have on earth is a gift and a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that because, frankly, people are disappearing. Scientists are going missing. Now they're saying they're going to investigate this. The president himself is saying they're going to look into this and see if anything's going on. It's a little bit scary. I got to say, it's a little bit scary. But you guys knew that I might still show up even though it was last minute and I've had a really rough week. Like, you know, that's kind of like every week. But somehow we keep on making it through all of this.
So, again, very, very suspicious that that would be 2 days before he supposedly killed himself. And that's the story that is being reported. Essentially, the story goes like this. The sheriff's department in Boulder, Colorado, got a call around 10:45 a.m. on Monday, April 20th, reporting an unspecified issue. The dispatcher believed the caller may have been experiencing a mental health crisis. Deputies arrived at the scene shortly after 11 a.m. and encountered a man outside a residence holding a weapon. Within minutes of their arrival, authorities said the man used the weapon on himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Despite there being no confirmation, fans of the writer and streamer seem to be affected by the news. And, of course, it has now been confirmed. Wilcock, born in 1973, is known for his work in paranormal and New Age spirituality. He gained prominence, claiming telepathic contact with extraterrestrials and presenting himself as the reincarnation of psychic Edgar Cayce. His UFO-related output centers on the disclosure movement, alleging government cover-ups of alien visitations, alien prophecies, and human ascension via extraterrestrial intervention. So, of course, very much in line with the other people who have gone missing. And just like so many others, there it is. He claims not suicidal at all. David Wilcock, this is back in 2022, but he says, I plan on living, not suicidal at all, just concerned about what happens when you prove God is real. And that would put him in a similar category as Amy Eskridge. In these posts dated May 13th, 2022, they say explicitly, if you see any report that I killed myself, I most definitely did not. If you see any report that I overdosed myself, I most definitely did not. If you see any report that I killed anyone else, I most definitely did not. Just like Bishop most definitely did not kill Maria and Gopi and Adriel, just like McLandish sure as F did not blow his own head off with a shotgun, the dominoes are being lined up all over again now. She also said, it's disturbing that I can report this current thing to my inner circle of scientists in the U.S., and some of them are like, yeah, that happened to me. They're just going to ask you to kill yourself and taunt you for a while about it. Just don't do it. Those guys are jerks. Okay, and then she put out a video that is extremely disturbing. And, you know, it just, tell you what, if anybody at all thinks you might potentially in some vague way be next in line for this, go ahead and make a dead man switch right now. You're going to go, I want to go ahead and make a dead man switch with all of your most incredible information. First of all, mail it to us, send it to InfoWars, and you can say, do not open until I die, and we will not open it. But like, you'll see in this video, Amy Eskridge says, you know, I better disclose soon. I better, you know, publish what I've been working on soon. You know, publish it now. No, it needs to be published now. Even if it's incomplete, even if you don't have like the data for it, you've got to publish it now because they can't shut you up if you've already said it. Like, this is something I've always, I don't know if I've ever had any information that would put me in danger necessarily, but like, I just say it. Because once you say it, what reason would they have to kill you? Like, if you have information they don't want out there, killing you is a way to stop it getting out there. Once you say it, not only will killing you not stop it from getting out there, it might just point back to them. Because if you come out with some bombshell piece of information about a certain group or a certain person, and then you're killed or you die mysteriously, guess who's going to get a lot of attention? So this is just my professional advice for anybody holding any sort of secrets. You should just tell them. And at the very least, you should have a dead man switch so that whatever you're holding on to gets uploaded with no intervention. Like, you don't have to do anything. You set it where every day at noon you have to enter a code, and if nobody enters that code, it gets uploaded. You've got to set that up. You've got to have it decentralized. You got to have it on multiple locations, air-gapped hard drives, and ideally send it to friends or lawyers. Lawyers also are bound by the law. You can send them envelopes or documents and say, publish this in the event of my death. Just, you've got to, I mean, because this is serious. And the last thing you want is to be holding on to some bombshell thing and then die and it disappears. And it's nothing. Like, you know, that's the worst thing that could happen. So let's go to clip number 20 here. This is Amy Eskridge, who was a researcher on anti-gravity technology. Now, her death has been ruled a suicide. She's the one who I just read the messages saying, I will never kill myself. Although, then she apparently did. Let's watch.
I found out that I was being physically surveilled by the following method. My ex-boyfriend and I realized that people had been breaking into our apartment while we were gone together in the same vehicle. And so, like, I'm in the apartment, I'm about to go to work, and I'm like, why don't you take out the trash and scope out the parking lot and make sure it's okay before I go to work? So he goes out there and he's like, there's this weird fucking Lexus. It's like a silver Lexus. This is a shitty apartment. Like, why is there really really nice Lexus in the parking lot? And it has tinted windows that are not street legal. Like, just totally dark, totally black tinted windows that are not possibly street legal. And so he comes back in and we're standing in our bedroom window looking at the Lexus and talking about it. And I say out loud, maybe we should walk over there later and take a picture of the license plate. Because the Lexus is across the parking lot from us, but it's backed in, so you can't see the license plate. Within 2 minutes of me saying, hey, we should walk over there later and take a picture of the license plate, we were still standing there at the window looking at it, talking about it. And an Eastern European-looking motherfucker with a black beanie dressed all in black in his 50s or 60s, walked out of the apartment directly across from ours holding a license plate. And he opened the trunk of the Lexus and he took out some tools and he changed the license plate right in front of our fucking faces. And then he walked back to his apartment and he put the old license plate on the front patio and went inside, left it outside. And it was literally like, come get the license plate. I have more. I have more where this came from. Come get the license plate. And then after that, the Lexus started tailing me. And every time I saw the Lexus, it had a different license plate. it would be like Alabama plates, a different state plate. It would be random dealer plates, none of which were local, just like cardboard temporary dealer plates, none of which were any local dealers. Every time I saw it, it was different plates. It would follow me to the gas station to go get beer. I would go get beer at the gas station and that Lexus follows me. And even my ex called an Uber once. He called an Uber. The Lexus pulled out from the spot across the parking lot from our apartment, drove over to our apartment and said, "Hey, I'm your Uber here to pick you up." The license matched in the Uber app, but they didn't have an Uber sticker or a Lyft sticker. You can't drive Uber if you don't have an Uber sticker. He pulled out of his spot across from our apartment where he lived and drove over there to pick him up and said, "Hey, I'm your Uber here to pick you up." They changed the license plate right in front of our face. Like 60 seconds after I said, "Hey, we should go take a picture of that license plate." And they leave it on the patio, like, "Take it. We have more. Just take it." Like, I'm scared. I'm tired. I'm real tired. I need to disclose soon, man. I need to publish soon because it's like escalating. It's getting more and more aggressive. Like over the past, this has been going on for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And over the past 12 months, it's been like escalating, like more aggressive, more invasive, digging through my underwear drawer and sexual threats over the past like 3 to 6 months. And now I'm like, fuck, I have to publish.
And you got it. And you got it. I mean, you really do. You gotta publish. You gotta get it out there. Obviously what she's describing is sort of classic, psychological operation techniques. Freak people out, make them seem crazy so people won't, you know, take them seriously. And that's why they do it in such an obvious way. And, you know, it's not about spying on you secretly. It's about driving you insane and making you feel crazy. Now she worked on anti-gravity stuff. She actually died by suicide in 2022, apparently. Huntsville, Alabama, where a lot of the, you know, major secret science operations, are carried out by NASA and, the federal government as a whole. But very disturbing stuff and, you know, fits in with the rest of this trend. She's a little bit farther back, but, certainly there is a, very big hazard in looking into this type of information, and all I can say is publish it immediately, send it to your friends and wear a camera to document all of this, because people believe it now. People might not have believed it in 2022. Now I think people are willing to believe that our government does insane stuff because we see it all the time. See you tomorrow, folks.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.